Ladies and gentlemen, it is 9 o'clock on Friday, the 31st of January, year 2020, and this is the Cary Beach Town Council retreat meeting, and we shall begin our proceeds now. Mayor Pro Tem David Hegler will be joining us shortly as soon as he ends the phone call. So, first order of business is department head presentations. So, we can ask for volunteers, or we can start with Public Works. Who's number one on the agenda? So, why don't we go after you first, Jim?
We wanted Jimmy to go. He needs to leave for David Black. They're on retirement lunch, so I thought.
Oh yes, yeah, yeah. I was going. Is this David's last day?
Yeah.
What time is that lunch?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock. Okay.
So what I thought that Jimmy could, if you're good with this, Jimmy could kind of do what he was going to do, and then if you want to also skip quickly to the 5-year capital plans, in particular for the Public Works item.
That'll work.
That way they get covered. If you have questions on what's on there for Public Works, I mean, as well.
Well, I am, if you want to adopt, you know, change the agenda for that, I am fine with that. I'd like a motion.
And we really only need to do it for the Public Works.
We don't really need one, do we? Yeah, we don't need one, do we?
You don't. Well, we're changing the agenda. The agenda's published. So the only thing
we'll still come back to it, I guess, for the other departments, though, at that point.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'll stand corrected. We won't need to change the agenda. We're making a slight modification. Okay. Okay, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we want to start with the water sewer fund?
Okay, I didn't. You want to start with the actual capital plan?
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm asking.
Get all that we just went through.
Mm-hmm. All right. What I have for this coming up year is my capital plan is starting out with the sewer and manhole rehab. We started this project about 2 years ago, and we're approximately about 30% done with this. This is where we go in and have all the manholes relined and stuff, keep out infiltration. I'm asking $50,000 for that, $40,000 for a new service truck.
Actually, is that a new service truck then, Jimmy? Is that what that is? Is that a new service truck that?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
We're down to really like two service trucks, and we've got guys now that's coming off a garbage truck that we'll be putting into the field to actually do some maintenance in town and stuff like that. So
there'll be a utility bed and everything.
Yeah.
Tool bed on the back.
Yeah, either that or I was looking at replacing an old 4x4 pickup truck. It's a 2004 model.
That's the one that's all rusty.
That's the one that's all rusted up that we use for beach trash.
Yeah, we need to get rid of that one.
Yeah, so, you know, in between them two right there is this.
Well, you decide what you need.
Okay, all right. I'm also bringing back up the sewer and stormwater vac machine, asking $200,000 in the water and sewer fund, and also $200,000 for the out of the stormwater fund. And the reason for this is to replace the old mirror that's 20 plus years old. We had to invest around $30,000 in the last 2 years having that thing repaired. And we did without it for about 2 months this year because it was broke down. And we were having to depend on Carolina Beach if something happened. If we had a real major sewer backup or real bad water leak, but fortunately we didn't have that. So,
how old is that truck?
The Vermeer is 20 years old. It's the big yellow thing. Also, it's going to come in handy with a lot of the stormwater maintenance and stuff that we got coming up here pretty soon. We've been using it, but it's just not.
Can you use it to? Well, this says vac, so you vacuum the lines clean? Is that what you do?
Yes,
that? You don't blow them clean, you vacuum them?
Yeah.
Well, your capacity on your tank is going to be a lot bigger, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, it's kind of a a combination between a jetter and our vac machine. It'll work the same way, except it'll be all combined in one, one thing. I asked for this last year, but this year I'm practically begging for it because we really do need it. I know it's a costly investment, but when you start getting water and sewer in the road, and you have to depend on your neighbors, it's getting to the point where we really need to think about doing something like this.
Okay. We'll take a look at all of them, Jimmy. I hear you, though. We made a major investment in drainage, and this is probably part of it.
Right.
But okay. Thanks. And when David comes in, we'll get his opinion on a few items.
Do you have a place to park it inside? Anywhere to put it? Are you going to be able to park it inside?
Well, if we get one, we can park it inside up on the hill at the shop. And that's another thing that, you know, I didn't put it in a 5-year plan, but that's something we really need to look into is actually building a building for some of our equipment that's, you know, sitting out in the weather and it's not lasting nearly as long as it could.
Yeah.
I'm asking for a navigator because they normally, you know, we go through these things, we work them to death. That's $15,000. A Thompson water pump, $30,000. This is for mainly for the lift stations that we're getting the new bypasses and stuff put in. Mm-hmm. If anything goes down, and if both pumps go down in the lift station, then we have some way of moving sewer when we need to.
Right.
You know, this is something that really needs to be done also.
So we don't have a spare pump right now?
Well, it's not the fact that the pumps. I mean, we had a lot of new pumps installed in different...
in the lift stations.
Lift stations, yes. But
this, we don't have a... This is a...
If we get a lightning storm and it comes in and blows out the whole circuit board, there's no way... Actually, we hook up a generator and make it work, but getting new bypasses and stuff like that is something that the town's never had, and it's a good investment. I'm asking for a 4-inch water pump. And the City Works software, this is something that David and I, we all discussed last year about for our O&M plan to keep track of many things, such as work orders, sewer lines, day-to-day operations. The only thing about this is the initial cost isn't, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, I'm not too big into computers, you know, but this is a program that a lot of the cities and towns around us are using. You know, it's basically a maintenance plan where you can go in there and you can pull up a map of anything in the town, whether it be water, sewer, anything like that. When the guys are out in the field, they can log into it and update anything, like if there's a leaky water meter or a leaky valve that needs to be replaced. You know, it's just a better way of us keeping track of things that we have going on outside of having it on paper.
And it's a work order system, too.
Yeah, Carolina Beach has it. Surf City has it. But the only thing that I see that's a downfall to it is the service afterwards, once you get it set up, it's like a $15,000 a year service.
Fee for the service,
for the service. But,
you know. That's okay.
Well, B63 needs to review it to make sure that we can support it, and maybe they can help with some of that.
Right.
Jimmy, if you'll let me know when you start having those meetings.
Okay.
I'll need to be in at least the first one, just to get you lined up with a contact with BC3 to make everything go smoothly, that we don't have any delays.
Yeah,
and you need to make sure it's compatible with whatever else you need and whatever. So you definitely have your role in that.
But you know, for
have you looked at others, Jimmy?
We have, but really this one kind of really stands out the best. You know, I've had Ian and Brad working on this for I don't know. 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
And they come back to City Works.
That one's the best?
Yeah.
Well, they'd have to use it, so.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But like I said, the only holdback, and I don't know how expensive service fees are or anything like that, but I think $15,000 a year is
Well, it's over $1,000 a month. You're right.
Exactly.
That's quite helpful.
I'd like to see what that provides.
Yeah, well, I mean.
If you get all updates for free, stuff like that, that's a different story.
I mean, is that storage for all your stuff too?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's the server and everything. I mean, they're going to have it off-site. See, if they got off-site server.
Then we don't have to worry about us going down. We have access.
Ours is compatible with, because it is a pretty common software to begin with. A lot of accounts and municipalities use it, so there shouldn't be a problem. Plus, we have another server now, so we should be able to handle it, if not.
Okay. But I mean, you have a point. If it includes storage, it includes all the software updates that would come. They're automatic, and I mean, there's some value to it. It's not cheap, but some value
and,
to it.
And my understanding was they're going to waive the first 25, what do they call it? I'm trying to look at it right now. Where they actually go in there, if we have a problem, they'll actually go in there and repair or enter something for us that we don't know or something like that.
Just be mindful.
Yeah.
That it always works easy now.
Right.
They sell you on something, and then it's just like the water meter thing, there's going to be a hiccup.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, you know, this is new territory for me too, you know, so. Yeah.
Well, Mandy will be able to help you in that area. Matter of fact, that's part of Mandy's role, so she'll be part of that.
Okay. And then that was one more thing on water sewer fund.
Now, are you asking for that 21-22, not 20? When do you want that, Jimmy? You got that in 21-22 right now.
I got it in
21-20.
Oh, City Works software. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, it's in this coming year. Okay, got it.
Okay. The only thing on water and sewer fund that I would like to change would be move from the 21-22 year to this year right here would be the sewer bypasses that I was talking about with the 4-inch water pump.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have 3 of them installed in 3 different lift stations now, but we have 9 more lift stations to go. So, you know, I'm asking for $60,000, which would include a cutoff valve and a 4-inch stem that comes up where we can attach the water pump to.
So you want to move the 60 over to make that 465?
Yes, sir.
And that's
our 475.
If you have to hook that water pump up,
yes, sir.
Automatically. I mean, it gives you the fittings and everything.
Yes, sir.
Out there. Will that do all our water, our lift stations that we have left?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the good news is year to year, that's 60% reduction.
Yeah.
I guess that's pretty much what I'm asking for in the water and sewer fund for this year.
Okay, where do you want to go next? Anybody have any other questions for him on those particular items? I have to admit, I don't know much about this. I don't know if you do, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, can we share the software cost between the two funds?
Which the City Works?
Yeah.
I mean, here we put it all in one place, but it'll also do work orders for anything in town, right?
Right,
So, yeah, we can share it.
I don't know whether it's advantageous to share it, but I... Yeah.
Maybe.
might be worth it. But.
Okay. But any particular questions on the items themselves? I mean, I understand the vacuum machine. I understand the gator. We use that every day.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to keep the old gator, or are you going to get rid of it?
We do have 2 that we're trying to surplus now.
Okay.
I mean, the life expectancy around this place for one of them is like 5 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, about every 5 years we kind of plan on them. I mean, because we do work the living daylight side of them, and they are really handy.
I like the fact the guys use them to keep the place clean in the winter and in the summertime. In the summertime, they're much easier to get around than some other heavy vehicle. I understand the water pump, software, and the sewer bypass. Any questions for Jimmy on this particular?
How many times a week do you use a vac truck, Jimmy? I mean, is it something?
Well, like for instance, this week we started jetting out storm drains, and we've got roughly about 4,000 feet done so far, and it took us about 2 weeks to do it. I mean, all depends if we have one, we'll use it. Mm-hmm. You know, something that small is...
That's what you were doing down there at him, or...?
Yes, sir. Yeah. You know, something that small that we use now is just, you know, basically for like a sewer clog, sewer backup, or something mm-hmm. like that. You know, it's really not for cleaning ditches or nothing like that.
You going to hang on to that one, or
what you... Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we've spent a lot of money. I mean, it's operational now. You know,
I agree. $30K to fix it, you're better off buying a new one. I agree with that.
But what really saw me on the back truck was last year, if y'all remember, when we had the water leak at Ocean Dunes.
Yes.
We couldn't shut the water off, and we had Carolina Beach come down here.
Right.
And what's really nice about it is where you can actually go down and excavate dirt, because now this town's lit up with all kind of power, fiber optics. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, where you know you can jet around it and suck it up, and not have to actually
stick a
shovel or a backhoe or anything like that and cut something out. It was really neat seeing that done.
Okay. Any questions from other commissioners?
I don't.
Okay. Move on.
Move on to stormwater fund. Like I said, I'm trying to split the back truck up in between the water sewer fund and the stormwater fund. So I'm asking $200,000 out of the stormwater fund to cover the back truck. And then.
So the truck's $200K. Oh, the truck is $400K.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. It's $400K. Yeah. I see.
And we would definitely borrow to purchase that.
You know, this is something that's, you know, going to last for many, many years and has many...
And we're going to find a place to put it in cover.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if we have problems, we may even have to look at...
You want to park it in here?
Well, no, but we may have to look at what we're storing in other places.
I'll definitely lease some space.
Yes.
But, you know, that comes back to the point where we actually need to think about building a building to store some of this really expensive equipment.
Well, we have the land. It's a matter of what would it cost.
Well, we got the pad already up there, too. What's it going to cost? Or would that be big enough?
I don't know if that pad would be big enough. You could probably put two bays in there. I don't know how deep they'd be. I guess they'd be... I think that's what it's set up there for now.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the little chunk of concrete sitting right
across the chunk over there.
That's, I mean, it's good, but it's just concrete in it.
Yeah.
You know, that can be removed and replaced.
Oh, we'd have to take it out of there, you think?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to build something, we need to build something that's going to hold three backhoes, a back truck, and anything else that we have basically that we can't store on here.
Okay. John will keep us straight on that. So, all right.
But,
did you, Jimmy, I didn't see anything about a garbage truck in our future.
We'll
get to the that's the general fund. Sorry.
Oh, that's general fund. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Jimmy, I would not this budget year, but maybe next year we do need to look into what it would cost to build a building up there. We need to get some estimates so we won't have sticker shock.
You talking about Ford? You talking about back by the lagoon?
No,
you can't do it at the lagoon. It's not ours. It would probably be right across the street.
Right across the street. From,
we park
the land involved. We bought a while ago. The contiguous space. That's
on Fourth.
Fourth and I. Yeah. Fourth
something
and
right there.
Right there, right beside where you used to live.
Yeah.
My friend.
And I guess the question would be: should it be on the that side of the street or? Right next, or on the other side, because we have the building there too. But is there a lift station? Is there something in there, Jimmy?
There's a lift station behind the shop there.
Yeah.
We still have that little parcel of land off to the side.
Yeah.
There, and then we have it across the street there also. Yeah.
And across the street is much larger than that parcel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how the citizens gonna feel about it, but I mean we.
Well, if we put something up, that would, these vehicles would be covered, they wouldn't be seen, and it would be nice, and something that wouldn't hurt the neighborhood.
Exactly.
So, it'd probably look a lot like these buildings, gray with the same matching roof, and, I don't know. Okay. So there's the other 200K, what else you got in there? Miscellaneous stormwater?
Yeah, just miscellaneous stormwater projects. I've got one at H Avenue that I want to improve, and I think there's one or two on Hamby that we want to improve. And the only reason I put this in is because I wasn't too sure about the LDSI audit or whatever you want to call it at this point in time, because they haven't given us their what their findings yet. So, you know, it could be, that could go up. But for right now, I normally put something in for stormwater each year.
Mm-hmm. LDSI is supposed to give us a plan of what and cost estimates and everything?
What LDSI is going to give us is they're going to give us a plan of the pinch points in area A and B right now. They didn't say they would give us an estimate. They just said, here are potential areas of problems that you should, if you're going to do something, spend your money in these areas.
Right.
I don't think an estimate's included with that. It was just saying you got a 30-inch pipe going to a 40, into a 30. That's right. A problem that you should consider. You got a 12-inch pipe connecting two things in an open ditch, and a couple areas that they said definitely you ought to look at. You could improve things if you made some changes. So that's due next month.
Yeah, February. Absolutely. Yeah.
So this capital plan is the big question mark.
Yes.
Because if you think about some of the projects we did the last couple of years, I mean, it was $500,000 here, $250,000 here, $100,000 here. So, you know, if we have anything like that, you know, this doesn't factor that in at this point in time.
Yeah. The at some point in time, I think I'll spend time with y'all, and I'd just like to know what we spend on irrigation like in the last 5 years, and we ought to tell the community, because they think that irrigation was an issue, and it's been a significant focus of this particular council, and actually the council before we had started taking a look at when Sonny was in probably his last year there or so. So maybe we'll spend a few minutes sometime in the future. I just like to let people know that we are spending money there. There's some questions about, did you have an opportunity to talk to Denise? Oh, that was Jim. I'm sorry, it was Jim Dugan I talked to about that. Denise Hubbard had asked questions about what we, you know, what had been done, and because it's 2 years, basically. But there's been a lot done. The ditches, the LDSI study, and I think we need to get that information out. Okay. Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
No, that's fine. On to the general fund. Street paving. I've got $90,000 in. I had a actually, I had Curry Village Way getting paved this year.
Curry Village Way?
Yes. I put $90,000. I may have to go back and increase this due to the fact that asphalt and pavement and stuff like that's went skyrocket here lately. So I wanted to get that in and try to do this Curry Village Way. If I can't get any more money out of the PAL fund or anything like that, if there's no way, then I'll have to drop back and catch some of the smaller streets that people was asked about.
Okay.
I just want to keep that kind of money in there just for paving purposes, because, mm-hmm. If we try to do some of these larger roads, I it's going to be a lot more than that. I mean, Settlers Lane's like $700,000 to get the whole thing repaved.
Yeah, and we can't. I agree. We should do portions of this every year, so that we're not.
We have to chip at it, because there's no way we can.
Well, we got that letter from the lady over on Sailor Court. I mean, it's in bad shape.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the only thing that I would think about. I mean, Sailor Court, we do need to look at all the areas, right? And certainly where there are holes or gaps, Jimmy can patch them because you won't get everywhere, but yeah, I mean, if we have places that we think, as commissioners, we can go around with Jimmy and see what we believe might be the best spot to maybe invest that money. We have a plan. The plan looks at the major roadways, which is, I mean, we have several miles in town, right? So the plan looks at major roadways. Or from time to time, are we going to have to do others? Absolutely.
How much money do we get out of town there?
About 65. So which,
we're low.
We had built our fund up to over 300,000, but last year we spent like 170.
Yeah.
So it really, with the plan that's up there now, we really won't even have enough money. By the time we got to the 300,000 for fiscal year 25, we won't have enough money to cover that. But that's my estimate. We wouldn't have enough money to cover that.
And then we're going to start budgeting for.
Well, if we have projects, yeah, then we'd have to, the amount of money we get through the PAL fund, really not that change. It's not like our, based on street mileage.
So
we're not really going to get anything more. Potentially we could get less if the...
they change it.
Because right now it's just a appropriation out of the state's general fund.
So we get 65 a year? Is that it?
Yeah.
65,000 a year. Well, that'll never cover everything.
Right. And we probably have about 280,000 approximately right now, so in the fund balance. But besides paving, we have, there's other maintenance type things, so that probably averages, $10,000 to $20,000 a year that we spend out of that fund for just, patching and whatever, striping, and I forget what else, some other things that they do too.
Yeah, when we get gaps in the street or holes in the street or, yeah. Okay, well, any inputs, team? This is, year to year it's up. In aggregate, we're still down. Except the money comes from all different places. I know you, Arlo, wants to wrap me in a head and say, don't look at it that way. You got to look at it where it's coming from.
There's one other way to also fund street maintenance. That's, we have that $5 motor vehicle tax.
Yeah.
You're allowed to go as high as $30 a year. There's different components. I think we do it to $5 that you could use for anything. I think you can add another $5. It's just for either 5 or 10, I forget, for street maintenance. So you could take that kind of approach to start to accumulate some funding for street projects.
So how much would that generate?
If we added another $10 so that the fee was like $15, that would probably be about another $20,000.
Okay.
The fees, that's another way of saying tax. So just pay the tax.
When you register, it says vehicle fee, so that's not a tax.
No, it is still a tax.
Any questions for Jimmy on this?
And you would ask about garbage. This is where you see the garbage truck on there.
Yeah.
Let's see
when we get down to that, right?
Next year.
Okay, Jimmy, keep going. It looks like the $100,000 that you were looking for is, at least somebody's questioning that right now.
Right.
Okay.
And last but not least, it's in the general fund, I'm asking for a pickup truck just to replace the ones that's, rotted. It's just...
You just gonna take the worst one out? And
yes, sir. I'm gonna surplus one out. Yeah.
Jimmy, thinking ahead, I would like for us to evaluate whether a one-armed bandit garbage truck would be beneficial for in our residential areas.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that'll that'll give you some more manpower and.
Yeah.
Necessarily think they might do it faster, but at least it'll give us opportunity to help your workforce out by buying a better piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Alan on that point. If you look at it, Jimmy, and if it makes sense, but even if it's 50 to 75 grand more, if it prevents us from having to add staff, with benefits and everything else, because it gives you guys back to put into other things. That's, to me, that's a force multiplier, just like the police use cameras and things like that. And I think that's probably a smart use of town funding. But yeah, I'd be interested to see when you have it, when you look at it, that please consider that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it takes us out of a, I mean, that's the most dangerous position we have for our public works guys, is riding on the back of that garbage truck for us. And so if we can eliminate that, it might help us out on our workers' comp claims and stuff like that too, potentially help us out on stuff like that. Now the downtown area, you're still gonna have to have a couple men pulling those cans out and getting them to the truck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you can still use the same truck. You just have to have a couple men walk with him down through that area. But the areas, we already got the cans. And they can just grab a hold of them and dump them. And I'm not talking about a truck like Waste Management uses for recycling. I'm talking about where man stays in the cab.
Stays in the cab.
Yeah, we
rain, cold, snow, don't matter. Just sits in the cab and throws in the garbage.
But that kind of boils back down to the water meter project. You know, I calculated right now we're saving like 144 hours a month in manpower just by the having and that's helped out quite a bit.
That's 144 hours to do other things.
I'm not asking for any more manpower this year because of that.
That is a full man. 160 hours a month would be a full man,
exactly.
Right? So a full equivalent.
Job,
yeah. So I think there's a chance to possibly add another full-time equivalent with a truck like that.
Yeah.
So okay. So when were you asking for that truck?
Not this year, but
not this year. Next year. Okay.
Yeah. Right now we have three that's in fairly decent shape.
Okay.
Trying to get rid of a couple old ones that nobody in the world.
Nobody wants them. What do you do with
scrap metals or what? You know.
I would imagine they have some value in scrap metal, but
yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for Jimmy on this? John?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Anything else?
No, sir. Not this year.
All right. Of course, we're going to do the Adam Upskis, and things may change when we add everybody's right? But this is a chance for you to tell us what you need, what you'd like, and what you believe it would cost. And I don't have anything to challenge what you're asking for at this point.
Don't hurt to ask, though.
No. Nope. Half the time, what we don't do this year, we may have to do next year. And may come to that on some things, I don't know. But we'll see. If everybody else is gracious enough to cut their spending tremendously, probably we can give everybody what they want. Okay. What else do we want to do for Jimmy? Anything?
I guess only if he has anything in some of the other, I guess, categories that we said, you know, about any new regulatory requirements or any updates on any of the projects you currently have in place or type of anything with complaints that you've been receiving? Not that I'm sure you get any complaints.
We never get a complaint. I just wanted to update, I guess, mainly on the water meter project. It's finally about to come to an end here.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have like 40 more meters to install. And then
do you know when they're going to do that?
They should be done by the end of this month.
Okay.
Well, I say end of the month. End of next month, yes.
Okay. All right. Now, based on a letter we got from DEQ, is there any, you think there's going to be any expenditure associated with that? Special?
Maybe.
That'll probably be this year, so it wouldn't affect next year. Okay. All right, Jim.
Sorry I'm late.
That's okay, everyone. Mayor Pro Tem. We went through Jimmy's requests. There weren't any specific questions, but this is his chance to ask for what he wants.
Yep.
When we add them all up, things may change.
Yep.
But there were no questions as to what he's requested. Seems logical.
I've seen Vanguard around town
a
couple times, guy working and replacing some boxes and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're finally doing the finished touch-ups and stuff, and I've requested that they do 100% walkthrough through the town, because we have noticed, we've had like 20-something calls, maybe 30 calls where the meter was leaking. So I've requested 100% walkthrough before I sign off on project being completed.
Okay.
And so I heard your question coming in. The whole stormwater thing, we should put a placeholder in for that. We won't have any idea on money. I think the issue that could be the cost is if we can't get the regional guys to audit the permits for internal permit holders.
Yeah.
If they resist that, even though the state says they do it, that would be a cost, because we would pay an external firm to do that. Yeah. I think instead of training someone, and that would be an annual audit. And the reason I say that is the town would rather have a professional engineer have the liability than us.
Sure.
So I think, Arlen, just for right now, I would put contract engineering services required for the stormwater state audit, and then just have a holder right now. We're going to write another letter. Did you send yours in?
I did.
Cool.
I did.
Good. We're going to write another letter to the regional office requesting that they do what the state says they will, and I think they're going to say no.
Well, 13,005 guys.
And then the state and the regional office got to tell us what to do about it. But my sense is we're going to end up owning that. And I think at our next meeting, that'll be a topic in the February meeting for us to talk about the stormwater, revitalizing the stormwater committee, and making anyone that has a permit inside be on it, have a representative on it.
Yeah, yes. That would mean every HOA pool is going to have...
Not pools, well, just ponds.
A pond, I know, but I call it a pool, little pool.
I wouldn't swim in those things.
Yeah.
Pools are being swimming.
But the issue is, I don't know if Beachwalk ever got theirs resolved or not. I didn't.
I got distracted
and didn't look on the internet to see.
I could have asked Paul when I was at.
Well, we're going to look at what the state says, not what he says.
All right.
Even if he got the letter, if the state hasn't updated their online stuff, then it may be the state's fault.
Yeah.
We could send a letter and say you guys are wrong. But and there's another one coming up late this summer, expiring.
Right.
So there's a couple, and if the state thinks we're supposed to be auditing them, that could show up. I got that. We'll be talking about it at the February meeting.
Well, that's okay. But I mean, if we can check if Sea Watch is on there or not,
we can.
Then I'll send an official letter on town letterhead to the HOA telling them, look, you're not in compliance. Get it done.
I'll look at it and show you where to find it.
Okay.
It just takes a little hunting. I'll have to find it again.
Well,
but
you had given me the access, and there are like 15,000 on there or something.
Yeah.
It's a huge amount.
Yeah.
So I don't know even how you found it. But
I don't remember now, but I can figure it out again. I think I dumped it all in Excel.
And in fairness to the HOAs, they probably have to budget for anything coming. Their next year's budget's coming up and everything. So if they know in advance that their permit's expiring, they should. That should be in their long range plan.
Yeah.
I remember talking about this when I was on the HOA. You're supposed to file.
Yeah, annually.
Annually.
Right.
That, hey, look, we've done what we're supposed to do.
Well, that's why the state got in trouble, because
they weren't making sure people were
doing it.
And it went to a federal level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we think. Okay. Sorry to bog it down. I'll be quieter again.
Okay. Okay, Jim.
You mentioned the water meter project. We're also still working through, and I think we're almost there with the final part of the software, which was the field collection system. We've been having somebody from United Systems come and read the meters for us until we can. We ended up with a server upgrade, so I think that's pretty much finished at this point or close to it. So soon we should be 100% on our own being able to read the meters. And then we've also contracting with the company that's going to provide that. I think we had talked about that online portal that customers are going to be able to go in and look at their usage. So we, Jimmy and I and Denise and Ian sat through a couple demos, so we picked a company for that also. So that'll be kind of the final step that probably in the next couple of months we'll start that process, which we'll definitely need a lot of input from council because it's going to be, you know, selling it to the residents and because it's going to be up to them to sign up for it.
Can they pay to do that for it?
They will be able, you know, we'll have to work that out, but yes, that is part of it, so.
Will it reduce the fee then?
I don't know.
Yeah. I hate the fee we pay for paying our water bill online because it's more than I pay for Duke Power, and my water bill is less than Duke Power.
Well,
but I know we're smaller, so I understand why. I just hate it. I mean,
some places absorb the cost. I mean,
right.
You get the credit card to Duke, you know, is absorbing whatever
that's
cost
right.
there is.
Yeah, I don't want us to do that.
Not to absorb the cost.
Yeah, I don't want us to do that.
But that's one of the things that we hear not as a complaint, just as something we could do to improve. Is could we do something about the online payment?
Right.
And,
well,
and once
yes. But
one thing that's also on here is new financial software. I mean, you know, we'll have to look at different things. But yeah, part of this online portal, they also have the ability, you know, that for payments. It's just I can't say there won't be fees associated.
Right.
As long
exactly.
as we got the ability, we can look at the fees and that.
Right. Yeah. Pick the ones better. Yeah. Is that correct?
Do we have any more outstanding issues relative to water bills? I mean. We do 10, 15.
We got one, well.
Every day.
I don't think we have 10 or 15. I mean, we just got one the other day.
Okay.
Even via certified mail, so that we.
Okay.
Is that the gentleman?
Well, Robin, I talked to Rob. She provided me with all your backup.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, so if it's one, that's different. We did resolve with Lennis, so.
I don't want to, you said you had it, you got it. You said you had it.
Some others floating out there. I mean, right. Then there's just the regular complaints, you know, that come in that my bill's too high, has nothing to do with the water meter.
Okay.
That happens every single time.
Oh, well, yeah, that, of course.
Well, our investigative team has 100% success rate.
Yeah, yes, we do. Thanks to Jimmy. He's part of the investigative team.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, out of 2,500 people, you're going to have a person. And one thing I've thought about, we need to help them. One, we need to direct them to our website. And then on our website, I think Jimmy and I need to work to put on, here's all the things you should check before you even talk to the town. Because there's a bunch of leaked things. You know, that you can find. Some of the meter things were found by hearing the sound but no water, you know, at Punky's.
And that's right? Part of what this portal is going to do. They also have like a whole module that people should go in here, that what you should do to look for
right.
leaks and different, you know, things that you should do to prevent leaks. So there'll be a lot of information
yeah.
on the portal too.
So we just need to help our citizens to be smarter, and then we got to protect all our other citizens for someone that wasn't smart. That the other citizens don't pay for it. And that's what I always tell people is, you know, everyone else was smart enough not to let their toilet run for 2 months. So why should they pay for your issue? And people don't like that, but they sort of understand it.
Yeah.
Are not the majority of these leak problems at homes where it's not a full-time resident?
I bet not.
I'd say
50-50 on.
Yeah,
yeah,
but it's,
yeah,
even,
but
it's everywhere. People don't realize how much water a leaking toilet will waste until they get the bill.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And a lot of them know it. They jiggle the handle and they're like, oh, no. But if you put the math in front of them, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So if it leaks for the whole month, that's like 1,000 gallons or something. It's insane
it's
how much water.
And that's what will be good about the portal because right. that's going to show what's the increments. Is it hourly or something? I forget.
Yeah, you can go. Yeah,
it's going to show usage. So if like, well, at 2 a.m, you're using, you know, 100 gallons an hour. So,
right.
Well, you know, what are you doing?
Right.
And, you know, so
yeah.
it'll have good information like that. That'll help prove
the house is big enough, you might not ever hear that toilet.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
one of the complaints we get in the summer, are just people using irrigation has nothing to do with a leak.
Right.
They just can't believe their bill's that high.
Well, that's because we charge them for sewer.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
true.
They can go in there and have a set amount that you know they expect to use, and if they exceed that, then
it'll alarm.
Pull red flag up.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Actually, you know, there are so many different things in this portal that
allowing people to control is good, right? We're trying to help you out,
Arlen. Once we go to the web billing and give the people opportunity to pay their bill through that service. And whether or not I guess we're going to implement a fee. I currently pay my water bill through Bank of America account, or for citizens, and the bank doesn't charge me an extra fee, and the town is not charging me an extra dollar or two to process that. Will that change?
Because what we end up getting in something like that, we get a check.
Yeah.
You're using like Bank of America bill pay service. We get a check from.
A lot of people use that.
Yeah, we get a lot. There's a lot that done that way. Yeah. So.
I do it that way.
Right, but you know,
I've been throwing away a lot of money.
Fees for anybody.
Okay. You're not like throwing away a lot of money. The bank doesn't deduct a few dollars because they're sending you that check.
No.
That's a service for your checking.
Okay, yeah. Great.
They do it free.
Yeah, so we get a lot like that. So.
What you're essentially paying on a credit card service is for you to get your 3%.
Yeah. They can set it up through their bank.
Yeah, I need to do that. I'm just lazy. Cool.
Okay. Thanks, Jimmy. Who's next? Unless you have more questions for Jimmy.
No, I'm good. No.
Okay.
He talks to me.
All right.
It's good.
I figured he did. I figured he wouldn't
Sorry,
be here.
Sorry, I was late. I didn't look at which one was first one. I got this meeting schedule on the phone. So.
Since he has a retirement at 12 o'clock. Yeah. For,
oh, is this David?
For David's retirement.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Where are you doing it at?
We're at Public Works.
Okay.
Where?
Public Works.
Okay.
Doing what for him? Yeah, we have Subway. That's what he wanted.
See, Public Works is tight on the budget.
We need more Davids.
Public Works is tight on the budget.
Gosh,
there you
we need
go.
More Davids. Okay. Nice. All right. So you are free to roam the country, Jim.
All right. I don't mind. Okay. I'll stay here for a while.
All right. So, building.
A little boat.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Batson, what you got for us?
Well, I'm not asking for a new person this year.
Okay, very good.
I appreciate what you gave me last year. That's
good
working
answer.
Out really well so far. I'll
good.
Get into that in a few minutes. As far as regulatory requirements, no new regulatory requirements coming up. You got the email that I got earlier or Tuesday for the BSEGS, which is a building code enforcement grading system.
Yeah.
That's a 5-year cycle that comes through similar to ISO. It's actually part of ISO, so we'll be coming in April to review.
Nice.
My department. They came in 2017 also, and I don't know if they're coming early because of what we experienced with the hurricanes or what, but I've emailed that question to try to find out what's going on with that.
Okay.
Previous to that, it had been 7 years since they had come, so.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be a 5-year cycle.
And we've never had anything but a satisfactory response, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
So, this wouldn't have anything to do with the insurance ratings or anything like that. Does that tie into this?
This is part of the insurance.
It could. It is part of the insurance rating thing. Okay.
Yep. I'll keep you all updated on that.
Okay.
I have no capital outlays, no equipment or vehicle needs this year. My budget I plan to be the exact same as it was last year. Possible or. There will be an increase in training and travel just because we've got 2 employees now, additional employee. So that's probably the only increase you're really going to see.
Okay. All right.
Complaints, things like that, you guys all know what I do. I'd be happy to go into that for you, but I will tell you since new employee started for the 2019 year, she's documented 33 violations. 14 of them have been closed, 19 are pending. We are now doing weekly ride rounds for violations as far as sign ordinance goes. Anyway, anything from real estate signs to political signs now. And you see a stack of signs over there.
Yeah,
probably.
Saw the pile growing over there again.
I've got her up to speed on trash can violations and planting violations, which are the other big one that's getting ready to really be cracked down on. So.
You just reimburse her for mileage.
Actually, she gets a stipend.
She
does get a stipend. Okay, yep. A stipend.
Stipend.
Okay. So yeah, good. Yeah.
You said trash can and something else. What's the other violation you said?
Plantings.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. In the right way. I understand.
Yeah, that was a big one for a while. We had a lot of violations.
Some of them. She's hit all the recent ones. She's getting ready to start hitting ones that are probably 10 to 20 years old. So probably going to be a little harder to massage. Moving on, I usually give you guys an update on what we did in 2019 also as far as building permits. And so just really briefly, we issued 166 building permits.
166? Yeah. How many were new?
42 were new homes.
42 new homes?
Yeah. Total fees brought in was just over $360,000. That's your stormwater, water sewer taps, building permit fees, planner views, swimming pools, fences, all that things.
And all that goes into separate, does that all go into the separate funds or? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
How many lots does that make?
I forgot all about.
Come on, man.
I'm sorry.
Well,
it should be somewhere around 210 to 220, if I remember right. Somewhere in there.
You said 40 new homes. I thought it was like 225 last year. So.
We were at 270.
Okay. Okay. There. So there you go. Do the math, right? 270 minus 42.
I might be completely off.
That's close enough. Low 200.
42 well, new is pretty some, amazing, I think.
Some of them are rebuilds on old lots.
Five of them were.
So out of the 42.
Excuse me. Three of them were. Two of them were because of the fire. But nobody's built on those yet.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, okay. So,
three
so
rebuilds.
Five of the 42.
Yes. I'll ask again. I ask every year if you guys want me to revisit our fees. We are the cheapest compared to, we are cheaper than Carolina Beach. I'm not sure where we fall as far as Rice Beach. And New Hanover County is significantly cheaper as far as building permit fees are concerned. But that's a typical county thing just because they have other revenue streams than we do. Mm-hmm. So I'd be more than happy to try to do a small study with surrounding beach towns and present to you guys at the next retreat what I think we should change our fees to. Or if you'd like for us to keep them just the way they are, I'm fine with that too. But it's drawn that.
I guess I would say that I would like to know where we stand relative to that. And here's my thought process on that, and everybody can jump in with whatever their feelings might be. The beauty of this town is what draws people who want to live here.
Yes.
And the beauty of this town, its attractiveness, its cleanliness, you know, its safety and all the stuff that all the department heads do, I think we should probably be equal to what other towns are charging because I think we deliver the same as or greater value. Just personally. And if you want to live in a nice place like this, I'm not saying to gouge people.
We all be charged with
one. We should be competitive. We don't have to necessarily be the same, but we should probably be close.
Well, I will say the biggest difference between us and Carolina Beach is what they charge as far as stormwater is concerned.
They're charging even more than we do?
A lot.
Wow. Well, and yeah, that for sure, because stormwater is going to be more expensive. So,
yeah,
I think that's very appropriate. You should look at all of them. Yeah.
I'll put something together for you guys. So, say, Rust Beach, Carolina Beach, Southport, Hook Island.
Yep.
Yeah. It'll work.
Yep. I mean, that doesn't impact our current residents, but it will impact people who want to live here in the future.
And if we do go up on the fees and say we look, here's what we compared it to. Give us a comparison.
Yep, so, okay. That's a good idea, John. And I know that the chief would like us to take a look at some recommendations as well on fees associated with penalties, tickets, ordinances. So we'll probably talk about that later. So, okay.
I did receive a phone call from a realtor, a real estate office, asking about signs and said, before we go to the police department, I wanted to see if the town is collecting fines. I said, well, you probably, if they were in the right of way, you know, you need to call John. So I assume, I think you were out of town, but I think they called and talked that, you know, they were going to report it as signs being stolen versus being taken up.
Nice.
So I sent them this way, Mike.
Appreciate it. That's all I have, unless you guys have other questions for me.
That's all, guys.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Yes, sir.
Next up is Arlen, or do you want to go last, or how do you want to do that?
No, that's fine.
All right.
I guess you all start out with staffing. There's three of us in the finance department, myself, Cameron over here,
mm-hmm.
and Denise. And, you know, I think right now we're staffed fine. Do we have a lot of spare time? Absolutely not. But I think we're okay at this point, so
Regulatory requirements, I mean, we have a number. I'm not saying there's anything really new coming up, but, you know, file things, you know, between state treasurer, Department of Revenue, IRS, DOT, can't even think, you know, monitoring all the asset forfeiture funds. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we end up doing. So, but that's all the normal, you know, everyday kind mm-hmm. of things. So there's one change to how you have to account for leases. That takes a place, that takes comes into effect this year. I'm not sure if it's really going to change us, anything for us really in our annual audit, because we don't really have any significant asset leases that at least I'm aware of. We have things like copiers, but we'll probably consider those like too immaterial to implement these changes, but you know, we'll work through that with the auditors when we get to that point in time. So, other than that, Karen has spent a significant amount of time working with FEMA in regard to Hurricane Dorian, and it is a significant investment of time. I mean, everybody gives us great information, but putting it all together to paint mm-hmm. the right picture is a extremely difficult, time-consuming process, so she's done a great job with that. We just met with our FEMA manager on Wednesday, and we're moving along good with all the debris removal costs, all the emergency protective things that we did, and then the other category we have is the damages to the stormwater outfalls again. So,
mm-hmm. I guess more in the last 3 weeks. So it's
all in progress. I kind of have an update that I can give on that at the very end, just a real brief where we stand mm-hmm. with Florence and with Dorian, I guess. So I'll do that at the end of everything. So. We also just recently implemented something called ACH control. We previously had on our bank account positive pay, because believe it or not, you know, we're a small town, but we have been getting a number of fraudulent checks drawn on our bank account. Mm-hmm. So we have a positive pay that, you know, we have to tell the bank ahead of time what checks are going to be presented. Submit a file, and then if it's not on that list, they send us a notice that we have to go in and approve them or not approve.
Yeah.
If that's the case. We also now have it for ACH, so any of the automatic drafts of payments come out of our account. They have a list of everybody that we've authorized ahead of time. If somebody's not on that list, then it gets rejected also, and we have to go in and make a determination whether to let it be paid or not. So. It's all things that are, you know, there's a cost to it, of course, but there's a bigger cost if we don't do it. So,
how many incidences have we had where we've refused to check? I think
we've probably had 20 at least.
Well,
we just had three last week.
Wow.
And we've had a couple. I actually was out of the office at that point on vacation, but I think a bank somewhere in, was it Florida?
Florida.
They actually called the bank in Carolina Beach, BB&T Bank, because it was like, hey, somebody's here trying to cash a check, and it looks
funky.
Doesn't look right.
Nice.
So they never even made it to that process that I'm talking about.
Right.
Except rejected beforehand. Or the most recent ones, they're using our routing number and bank account number,
mm-hmm.
but they had some business, like some flooring company in Wisconsin, was the name of the business, and the check was made out to some guy in Los Angeles.
Right.
So not even anything to do with
us at all,
yep. Beach, except yeah. It was our bank account number.
Yeah. Nice.
But luckily this system works great, this positive pay system. So
good. Well, that's smart then.
I guess future needs, on the 5-year plan, I have a new financial software.
Yep.
That $50,000 is just an estimate for half. I would split it between the general fund and the water and sewer fund. And even once we start to work through this, you know, $100,000 may not quite be enough. And on top of that, that's just the one-time fees. Mm-hmm. We're probably looking at
a maintenance fee.
Yeah, and it's maybe even up to $40,000 a year. Right now we pay about $10,000-$11,000 for the software we have right now per year.
Yeah.
But that could increase to, you know, like I said,
$40,000. Well, I mean, the value of the new software is efficiency?
Well, efficiency, it's also what we have now is extremely outdated. Some days, you know, I can't say it's tomorrow, but, you know, at some point it's not going to work right. We already have a lot of quirky things, and it's just time. It's been in place for, I think, over 10 years, and my understanding is when we bought it, it was pretty much old technology at that point, so...
Okay.
So it's kind of time.
It's DOS-based.
Yes.
DOS-based?
Wow. Yes.
DOS?
It's time. I mean, right now it's...
It's as old as I
am. What we need.
It's like the 80s.
No, that's good.
It's doing what we need, but someday, again, it's not going to work. And also, I think we can be a lot more efficient, change the processes when we actually have a new system that does different things. So.
DOS is older than 25% of the people on
that side. Exactly right. Everybody on that side.
Yeah, everybody on that side, yeah. Well, maybe not Jimmy.
Thank you.
Jimmy, don't feel bad, brother.
Oh, brother. Yeah, okay. Well, that's all you had to say to me was DOS, man.
That's right, yeah.
And then complaints, I mean, I kind of touched on that a little earlier, but, you know, we do get a number of complaints, especially since Denise and Karen are at the front window there. You know, the majority of them somehow usually relate to water and sewer, but not always. Get some garbage recycle complaints sometimes. People complaining that they have to pay for a new garbage can, that kind of stuff. But by far, the water and sewer complaints are the bulk of them. So.
That's where the big money is.
I have no problem with that.
And we'll continue to do what, you know, we follow the ordinance, and if somebody wants to pursue it more, referring them to come and talk to you guys. So.
That's where it should be. Mm-hmm. You're following the rules.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. We need to be probably
rude to them or anything like that. Yeah.
So that's no one's ever said anyone was rude. That's the best you can do, right?
That's right. Not to talk to them.
Yeah, that's right. You got like here.
No, I think that, I mean, Denise definitely takes the bulk of the
She
has excellent customer service person, and she maintains her cool. And I know if she comes to me and says, you got to talk to this person, then it's
a problem.
It's a problem. So. Yeah. And Karen, I mean, she doesn't have as many, but she does a great job, too, with the...
So the red button lights up on Arlen's desk, she knows there's a problem.
Denise is much calmer than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she gives
them
candy.
Snickers
before.
And then the only other thing will be the what we talked about, the customer portal, you know, will be a big step.
Right.
That's going to take an investment of time also.
Okay. Well, certainly, it's about time then we get on that financial software. Have you picked something? Do you know what you want?
I've looked a little bit. I got to do a lot more. The problem is the time. It's a huge undertaking because we're going to have to convert all the data from one system into the new system so that we can maintain history. It's going to be a lot of work, and it's also working around like what we have the audit, so we have to make sure we have good data for the audit. Well, we have to have good data for the budget process. So it's working it in when the right timing is to try to do this. And
we're going to need part-time support or something for keying data?
But we'll try to do it ourselves, but it's...
Well, I mean, like you said, you're all incredibly busy. I mean, I know that.
It's
you
going
guys
to be extremely,
are always...
extremely difficult. And so, also just learning how to, you know, use the new...
But, and if we're up against deadlines on data inputs and stuff like that, we certainly can look at some type of temporary... I mean, get some people who are really good at it.
Well, or there's finance degrees at UNCW, you could get an intern.
We could
town write a letter for. So that's the best way to do it because, one, they're going to be the fastest typist, and two, they're cheap.
Yeah.
And get a nice letter from the town for their internship.
And I think a lot of it's going to be like data conversion. And
yeah, exactly right.
You know, verification processes or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So.
And it'll make sure none of them ever want to go into town government.
I don't know, that's not true.
Or take the software down.
That's not true.
Okay. Any questions? Anything else, Arlen?
With that, my plan is hopefully in the upcoming fiscal year. I can't 100% say that it would be fully finished, but that's the ultimate goal anyway, is to...
Okay. Okay. Good. Any other questions for Arlen, commissioners? Thank you. Ed, fire. Chief.
I've got the same packet that I did last year.
I'm good right now. Thank you.
Tie it into your goals?
Yeah, tie it into the
All right.
Your plan.
Right.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Here, Andy.
I just passed that. Me and John should. You got it? Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
You may have hit my glasses.
Yeah, that was a printer that was donated to us by the police department.
That's nothing but the best for you.
That's right.
You guys like me to wait for Mr. Allen?
No.
We don't need them.
You guys didn't wait for me?
Go ahead.
Keep up. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so just like I did last year, I made a packet for you that basically coincides exactly with our five-year strategic plan. On the very front page is the action items that is a summary of what the entire 37-page strategic plan goes off of. And if you flip over to the second page, that is the same items, and then I've highlighted by color what we've completed, what we have ongoing, what's been moved back, and then what we have in the upcoming year or few years. And if you flip over again, I've tried to make it a little neater. And I'll briefly touch through these since a lot of this is not budgetary. First one, equipment maintenance program. So we are doing all of our own equipment maintenance in-house. This year we did hire a third party for our flow testing on the hydrants. That was just strictly due to the ISO changing the requirements to a two hydrant flow testing, which we are not familiar with. And so we brought them in this past January and they have completed that. But other than that, we change all the oil on the trucks ourselves. All of the equipment is maintained by us, in which we can do ourselves. As you saw this year, we had a few items on the first out fire engine that decided to go bad at random times, but I'll get more into that here in the future too. Two, pre-plan. We have 78 buildings in which get inspected every year by our inspector. Every single one of those also receives an updated annual pre-plan in which we speak with the owner, we get a second party contact, we get a key for the building if they allow us, and then we actually draw out maps of the building, hydrant locations, fire flow, which will allow our firefighters to arrive on scene and have that information right there, especially at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning if no one's available. Third, new fire station, as you know, we moved in January. Fourth, full-time firefighters, 100% trained. This year, we set a standard for all of our full-time members, and they have been going to quite a few colleges, as well as our volunteers. And everyone is now 100% trained to meet what is the industry standard for each of their positions. Fire inspections, as I stated, Steve received his fire inspector too, so he is fully capable of handling all the fire inspector inspections, which is 78 in a period each. Fire Safety Week, this past year, I think most of the council was there too. We had a great day. We set up the bouncy house, smoke detector table. We did a silent auction, which combined our annual fundraiser. It was really a great day. It kicked off Fire Prevention Week and got the public in. And we kind of combined it with an open house so the community could come in and check out the firehouse too. So it went very well. We're going to do it again this year. We're also going to do one just before summer to kick off our junior firefighter program, which I'll get into that as well here in just a few minutes. After interviews, we implemented that. More community involvement on top of the Fire Prevention Week. Every Saturday, our guys go out in the truck and hand out stickers to all the kids down at the diner. They give them hats and that sort of thing. We have a full-blown smoke detector program, so anyone that needs a smoke detector, they are free. We'll actually install them for the homeowner. I think we installed 112 smoke detectors this year, so quite a few. And we'll continue to do that for a lot of the elderly that are living at their homes by themselves. Volunteer incentives, thanks to council support's last council meeting or two council meetings ago. We implemented a new pay and ranking structure within our department, and we're able to provide a little more incentive for our volunteers to rank up within the department. incident reporting technology, that was originally planned to be implemented in 2022. Due to the ISO and Firehouse, which was the software that we were using, they went up from a $600 license, just a one-time license, to $2,800 a year. So we decided this year to go with emergency reporting, which is much cheaper. It is an annual fee, but I believe it's, and Arlen may know off the top of his head, I believe it's $800 a year. It's a lot cleaner. It's cloud-based, so I can pull it up on my phone anywhere I am. Steve can do his inspections on his phone or on a laptop, and it's all right there. So with Firehouse, we were paying for a license that only allowed it to be on one workstation. This allows us to be wherever. So this is a much better option. And then the annual fundraiser, we, like I said, we combine that with our fire prevention week back in October this year. Ongoing items, improved relationship with outside agencies. We're doing mutual aid training as much as we can with EMS and our automatic aid fire departments. Establishment of SOPs, that's always ongoing. Beach public safety talks, I know our lifeguards get up with Nikki every year, and I would assume we're going to continue that this year as well. I'm not really sure on the reach of that. I believe they get a handful of people every year, but you know, if you teach one person about rip current, then they can teach others as well. So we'll continue to do that one. Outside medical training, I just went over those, that one, and the quarterly mutual aid training, and then fire alarm check. So our discussion was to not only install smoke detectors for those that need it, but probably this year or next year, open it up to the public, whether it be on the website or through an email blast, that anyone that would like for us to go out and check their smoke detectors, make sure they're in the right place, or install batteries. This is something we currently do quite often already. So basically make it a little more formalized and let the public know that, hey, we're here to help you out, and anything you need, we want to make sure that your home is fire safe. And then moving forward, these are the summarized items which I'm going to discuss today. The first three are in red. They are the three firefighters on duty. Those were put into the strategic plan for last year, and that was moved forward. Same with the all EMT response and the EMS system plans. That's why those are in red, was because for our strategic plan, we're behind as far as reaching those dates. And then the fourth is volunteer training and recruitment program. I'll touch on that. And then lastly, the junior firefighter program. So that was one that also got moved back, but we are currently going to implement this year. And like I said, I'll discuss that a little more in detail. So the first one, just like I stated last year, is an all EMT response and EMS system plan. So currently the fire department responds to the deltas and echoes. There's three other types of calls, the alphas, bravos, and charlies. The police currently responds to all of them, correct? So the police department responds to all of them, but does not provide medical care. The fire department responds to the deltas and echoes, but does not respond to the alphas, bravos, and charlies. The average response time for the ambulance to get to Curry Beach is 10 minutes and 22 seconds. And they actually improved that this year to 10 minutes and 19 seconds. So they're not really shaving a whole lot of time off. And they are also getting busier, but most of that's due to summertime peak hours. It just takes quite a bit longer to get an ambulance down to Curry Beach, especially the south end, depending on the traffic.
And where's the closest place, just right across the bridge?
No, they have one on this side of the bridge, just behind the food line, the old Federal Point.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But they don't staff it all the time, right?
It's staffed 24/7, but the problem is if they move their ambulances around, so they'll stage. So if their closest one, which is Myrtle Grove, right there across from Sawmill, if they're on a call, which they run 20 to 30 calls a day, so every single day, then the one that's on the island will move up to the fork at Myrtle Grove and Carolina Beach Road. Mm-hmm. So they do that every day, and that's how they stage. They basically move, they'll shift their apparatus around. And then furthermore, if Myrtle Grove ambulance is on a call, and then the next one's up, then the one in Carolina Beach will move closer to the Myrtle Grove station, which obviously is the reason for longer response time.
What about in the summer? Same rules apply?
I'm not sure as far as their hours. They were not able to break it down.
Okay.
They said they'd get back to me as far as the response time, winter versus summertime, but their average throughout the year is 10-20.
Okay, because I was just thinking that during the summer that they would maybe keep that particular station occupied potentially, because
they're
much larger and people are...
What they did in the summertime was they brought a Toyota Tacoma down, and that was EMS 503.
Okay.
So it was a rapid response vehicle that they put in 4 years ago due to, we had a very large increase in ocean rescue calls.
Right.
Us and Carolina Beach did. And they were sending a lot of the ambulances down to the beach, which they obviously had to park at a beach access. Where now the Tacoma could get on the beach if they wanted to. But they were able to leave that vehicle on the island when the ambulance went up north of stage.
Good.
Well, this past year they did away with that as part of their cost reduction strategy, which the chief of Carolina Beach and I had discussed with EMS is not really a good idea.
Well, we're being hit up by a lot of the county commissioner candidates saying, what can we do for your community? And that needs to be one of the top things, guys, that we speak up and talk about that the county can provide, because as the mayor has stated many times, what do we get for our 65 cent of every dollar that goes to the county?
What was the name of that program again, Ed?
EMS 503.
EMS 503.
Yeah, and I'm not sure the relationship between county commissioners and the hospital, because it's all ran out of the hospital.
Well, they own the hospital. Yeah, county owns the hospital.
For now.
As far as their administrator.
Yeah. That relationship might not be too good right now.
It's good now. It might not be in the future.
What I've discussed, I think the last 2 or 3 years, is that I think that the response time of the fire department and the services that we can provide, not to mention the relationships that we have with most of the citizens in Curry Beach, a lot of them are calling straight to the fire department for lift assist and the minor emergencies anyways. I feel that it is a very valuable service that our fire department can provide, especially given the demographics of Curry Beach. We have an older community with a lot of mobility issues, and a lot of times, you know, they are 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and they are to get a guy off the bathroom floor or someone that fell out of his bed. And we understand that, but we definitely feel that 10 minutes and 22 seconds is a long time for someone to lay in the bathroom floor. And if our guys are right here, it is certainly, like I said, it's a service that I feel is valuable. With that being said, so I'll move forward to the three firefighters on duty. As weird as it sounds, in order to run the more minor calls, the Alphas, the Bravos, and the Charlies, we have to demonstrate to a board, an EMS board, that we are able to provide an EMT at all times. So it cannot just be a volunteer that has been through first aid. It has to be an EMT certified person. And that, I have a feeling that's only going to get harder and harder as the years go on, as far as the licenses and credentials. But the main thing is when our firefighters are on the scene of a medical call, before a paramedic gets there, if a structure fire gets pinged out on the radio, by law we are not allowed to leave that patient. So we have to physically be there with the patient, no matter how minor it is, because we cannot neglect the patient. Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. So moving forward to the three firefighters on duty, I'll touch on the EMS part of that towards the end, but this is something that I had brought up last year. So currently we operate two full-timers on duty with a part-timer in the day. And then at nighttime, sometimes we have a volunteer. So to touch on the industry standards first, NFPA 1710, that's the standard for deployment. It states that the first arriving engine must arrive in 5 minutes and 20 seconds. So we currently meet that. We actually do very well with that. But then it states that the remaining initial response units, which is 14 personnel, must arrive in 9 minutes and 20 seconds. So that means our volunteers that respond to the station to get the additional engine or service, as well as Carolina Beach and New Hanover County, should be within 9 minutes and 20 seconds. Now, it's important to note that NFPA, it's a standard. It's not a law, it's not a requirement, it's not a regulation, it's a standard. However, just like OSHA, and I'll touch on that here, OSHA 29 CFR 1910.134, it's basically states, a portion of that states that in order to establish an interior attack or a rescue, you must have a two-in, two-out established. So that means in order for two firefighters to go inside the structure, you must have two firefighters outside of the structure first. And just like the NFPA, that is also not a law. But just like anything else, the first thing that happens if someone goes inside and goes inside and gets hurt, the first thing they're going to ask is, well, first they're going to check their gear, then they're going to check their training and that sort of stuff, but then they're going to look at these two standards, and these two standards are going to be what is called upon. Does that make sense to you as well? Mm-hmm. And then furthermore, NIST, which is it's the National Institute of Standards and Technology, that is what the NFPA and OSHA gears a lot of their standards off of, is their research. They did a very big field experiment back in 2013, I believe, to take a look at the size of the staffing between a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5-man engine company to give recommendations, and their recommendation was a 4-man engine company. So what would that do, adding a third full-timer for the fire department, what would that do operationally? So at structure fires, on top of meeting the industry standards, if we had a chief respond, so myself or Deputy Chief Wayne Bostic or any member that we had assigned or set up within the scheduling to provide that fourth person, the three-person engine company will allow each of those members to have a specific seat. So we have an incident commander or an officer, a driver or pump operator, and then the firefighter. So if we had a three-person, the officer could back up the firefighter, stretching a hose, and the driver could stay at the pump. So currently, if we just have two, obviously we're not allowed to go inside per NFPA and OSHA unless we have four. But I can go ahead and tell you, if we had someone that we knew was trapped, our guys were probably going to go inside and do what they think is right. So what would happen if we had two? Well, we'd either have one guy go inside by himself and leave a guy at the pump, or we'd have two guys go inside by themselves with no one outside, with no one at the pump, which means if something were to happen with the hose line,
no water,
they're in there by themselves. So we're putting them in a definitely a weird predicament. So a three-person engine company along with a responding chief would allow for us to provide quick interior attack and rescue of any trapped victims. We do not have many structure fires in Curie Beach. We are lucky in that aspect, but what we do have is we have larger residential structures than most jurisdictions do. And we also have a demographic population that has mobility issues and they're older. So although we do not currently respond to the same amount of residential structure fires that other jurisdictions do, the risk is still there. And the risk, even though it's not a high volume, high frequency risk, I believe it's slightly higher due to our structures and, like I said, our demographic as well. So moving forward, at ocean rescue calls. So a three-person engine company would also allow for us to have an incident commander and then a rescue swimmer as well as a backup swimmer. When we train our lifeguards every summer, and throughout the beach or throughout the summertime when they respond to 100 to 250 rescues, they are never by themselves, so they always have a backup swimmer. That's what we train, that's what the USLA manual states that we do, and that's how we train. This year, so for instance, the two drownings that we had this year in the off season, we had a two-person engine company. So when we responded down there, the first call we actually had a volunteer assist with medical stuff. But so the two-man engine company has an option. They can either leave one guy on the beach to man the radio, request additional resources, get the med bag ready, get the AED ready, get all that stuff, and send one guy out by himself, hopefully to not recover an unconscious victim, but in the case of those two, it would have been an unconscious victim by themselves. So the officer then has to make a decision, am I going to stay here or am I going to go assist there? Luckily, I was on duty both of those days. I think I was speaking to Arlen and Karen for both of them and called out. I happened to be the backup swimmer for both of them. And I can tell you with 100% certainty that if I had not been there, it would have been a very different situation, not just for the victim, but for our rescuers as well. One guy had pulled me aside afterwards and thanked me and said I had no clue that I was even going to make it out. So providing a backup swimmer is certainly important. We're trying to meet that with volunteers, which is good. We've set a standard every year that if you want to respond to ocean rescue calls, you have to meet a standard. And luckily, we do have a few that are within town just about 100% of the time. But it's not a certainty, and obviously that's the issue there as well. And then lastly is the medical call. So if we decide to move forward with a all EMT response, which is Alphas, Bravos, and Charlies, some of those calls are going to be minor. And I would certainly hate to tie up a full engine company at a minor call just to get a structure fire where those guys cannot leave. So if we were able to have three people on shift, we could send two firefighters to the medical call, and then the officer could remain at the station and staff the engine with the incoming volunteers to ensure that we're not missing out on those high-risk type of calls as well. And then also with the three personnel, our chances are much greater, especially with our requirement that you have EMT to be a full-timer, that we have a full-timer EMT be on at all times. So to summarize, by adding a third firefighter on every shift, we'll be able to solidify our foundation, which is our guaranteed response to any call incurred needs without having to wonder of the uncertainty of who's going to show up, who's in town with the volunteers. Immediately be able to meet the NFPA and OSHA standards, not requirement standards, of the two in, two out, and then the deployment analysis. We'll be able to meet our operational needs on scene with our structure fires, with seated positions, as well as our ocean rescue calls. And then each, if we were to hire three, each of those firefighters would have a responsibility area on top of their normal day-to-day, one which would be a junior firefighter program director, essentially. The other one would be the EMT training and con ed coordinator. And then the last one would assist Captain Zwally with our fire inspections and fire prevention programs. And then on the last page there, I've got a breakdown, just like I did last year, of the departmental staffing around the county. So Riceville Beach, Carolina Beach, and Henry County. Carolina Beach, it says seven there. They just went back in November to a four-person engine company, and then they have three admin staff. So their chief, their deputy chief, which is also their fire marshal, and then their ocean rescue director. So in the summertime, that ocean rescue director is on the beach strand, but their goal was to staff a four-person engine company 24/7 and then have the admin staff respond in the truck company if it's needed. So they've been a phenomenal resource for us with automatic aid, with getting their truck down here at a very good time too. So
Ed, is your question one additional individual or?
Three, one per shift.
It'd be one per shift.
So it'd be three people.
Yeah, so we have three shifts in A, B, and C. They work 24-hour shifts, 53 hours a week average is what their work week is. And it'd be one per shift, correct.
Okay.
If we, this is a problem that all fire departments or fire stations have. In fact, when you got people out on vacation or other things, it's hard to keep that two in, two out standard up. I mean, I've heard this many, many times before. I agree with everything you said. 100% agree.
I know, Ed, that, I don't know, it was a few years ago, I think Harold asked for four. Harold asked for four folks, four full-time folks.
Probably, I don't remember. Probably. I'm sure he had.
Remember. Well, and so, he actually rolled it back to 3 and went with volunteers. So I would say that you're already authorized to at least one additional one, which is my particular view. And so
that was changed then.
Yeah,
that was changed.
The funds were actually moved to the existing. So we kind of the decision was made to do away with that.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. Okay. So I think the issue is the fire chief has a responsibility to council to tell him here's all the facts, which I think he has done a great job of lining out. And then council has a responsibility to make the risk value decision, right? And so I think as we move through the budget process, it should be a line item, and then we just have to discuss it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of caught in the middle because as a volunteer, you know, I see the times when there's not very many people there. But on the other hand, as a taxpayer, I know what the cost is. And so I'm not really strongly either way, but I've always encouraged the fire chief, whoever is the fire chief, look, your job is to tell us what your concerns are and how to address them. And then council tells you what you get, and then you got to figure out something else to do if you have to, right? And I think he has done a great job with that. He's raised the bar on the volunteers so the ones you get are better trained than they were. Nothing to how we did it before, but he's continuing to raise the bar, and he's recruiting hard for volunteers, right? But he's exactly right. There are some fires where the volunteers are all out of town in Hickory or wherever, and then that's when he's kind of caught, right?
With an average age of, I don't know, what is it, 62 or something like that for the town? Do you know what the average age is?
59.6.
That was last year.
So I'm in the low half.
And this would primarily be an EMT-trained individuals, right? Or people moving up to get EMT-trained and other people coming in behind them or something. I think there's value. You're right. We have to look at it in aggregate.
Yeah.
But you certainly have developed a compelling argument with examples, right, where it was important. And the legalities escape us if you don't mention it. Like, first you're going to check the equipment, the training. Then they're going to check the standards. And you can't, if you do go to one of those other calls, you can't leave a victim, even if another call comes in. I mean, the legalities of this are deeper than I think we or most residents would understand. So, I mean, anybody have any other comments on this or whatever? I certainly think we should look at this as part of the budget process.
Oh, I think so too. And I mean, your argument is right on point. It's just like David said, we got to weigh the two. But
I mean, it's a risk value question. That's what it really is.
And it's definitely something I would like to see us get to attain. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. What if you got some of that? And we build to 3 or whatever, right? But
yeah,
then you still
have for the year after for whatever.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, I think Ed would schedule as best he can with the resources the council gives him. That's what he's been
saying. Here's where most of the action is occurring. This is where I would normally staff it or something.
And I think you're exactly right. It's not an all or nothing question. The council can say we're going to do some of this, and then I have faith that any of our department heads, if we do some of what they ask for, will maximize the value to the citizens. That's what they all do. That's what we pay them to do, really.
Yeah.
I think they do a good job.
Yeah. So you did a good job here, Ed. You certainly got me thinking about it.
Well, I have actually 2 more items.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're not done yet.
Yeah. Okay.
We're asking. This is asking day.
Yeah, it is asking day.
Next up is volunteer training and recruitment program. So this year, kind of along with that plan, I'm looking to add 7 volunteers. So that'll put us to a roster of 45. Basically, in the budget, what I'm requesting for is the ability to purchase turnout gear for them. So we're slightly behind on our turnout gear. We would definitely need to purchase new sets of turnout gear. But as a point to the last discussion, which we just discussed there, and then this one here. So we've got our current reality, where we're at now, and then kind of where I feel is where we should be, which is 3 full-timers on a shift, and And then on top of that, we currently have volunteers backfill the fire station. Well, what I'd like to see is three volunteers backfill the fire station, all of which are trained in each of the three positions that are required them to complete on any call that could come in. So medical call, structured fire call, which is what we're currently doing with our ranking structure. We have a few volunteers moving through that process, but the goal is to get a foundational three full-time firefighter spot first to respond to the first call, and have on the calendar a guaranteed, you know, three volunteer firefighters are responding to the station. Those three firefighters are a firefighter, a driver, and an officer. So that is the aspired state. Of course, right now we're in the gap and trying to figure out how to get there, and I believe that adding volunteers is a way to do so. Get more volunteers in the door. I definitely think it's an achievable thing to do with our brand new building. We've set a very high standard within the fire department. Word has gotten out. At any time, we have a waiting list over there, which is great. And the only reason we have a waiting list is because we're out of gear. So this year, I will be putting in for turnout gear for seven potential volunteer firefighters.
What does turnout gear cost? I'm just curious.
It's about $3,000.
About $3,000 a person. Now, when if a guy leaves, does he take his turnout gear with him?
No, that's the town property.
Okay.
And then when I get to the capital outlay, part of our capital outlay is a purchase of turnout gear. Just like the NFPA standards and OSHA standards, we're supposed to rotate out gear every 10 years. Obviously, some departments can't afford that, so they don't. And in the past, I don't think we have. But currently, we're starting to rotate gear out. We have very few members that have gear that's older than 10 years old. But just like anything else, if someone were to get hurt, the first thing they're going to do is pull their gear. And then they're going to make sure they're fit tested. But the first thing they're going to do is make sure that their gear is within the date. So I'll get into that.
One question here. Are there elements of gear that are like more critical, like the air packs, or like do they have to get
So the actual turnout gear itself consists of pants, coat, helmet, gloves, and nomads, and boots. And those are 10 years.
Okay.
Air bottles are on a 15-year plan, depending on the material, but most of the materials are composite now, which is 15 years.
Okay.
They have to be rehydrated every 3 years, which we run through that process. That's not a problem. This past year, we were able to save a large amount of money. I think it was around $50,000. I had to get with Arnold on that. But the Navy had implemented a program where they could extend the life of a bottle up to another 15 years because there's a lot of departments, just like ours, that they don't respond to fires every single day, and the bottles are perfectly fine. So they went through this big process of where you could send the bottles back. They do this weird modal acoustic testing, and they restamp it for another 15 years. So a new bottle is $1,100, where you could do that for $300 a bottle.
Oh.
Well, we were going to do that for the remaining half to two-thirds of our bottles this year and next year, but the big bottle manufacturers actually went against that. They got a congressional stop somehow on the entire thing. So,
oh, yeah, of course they did. They spread money.
It's in limbo as we speak.
There you go.
Yeah. And then lastly is a junior firefighter program. We put that in last year, but we decided to move forward. We actually, thanks to John Batson, Nikki, and then a few board members, we were able to receive enough donations to move forward with that on the volunteer side. So we're going to start off with four junior firefighters. We'll run through an insurance policy. There's only one type of insurance policy that is able to do junior firefighters in North Carolina, but they do all of them, so it's a known program. So there's nothing needed there. I just wanted to inform council on that.
Okay. Who else runs the who else runs the junior program?
Within our department?
No, I mean within the county.
Well, it's all through the National Volunteer Fire Council. So they've got the umbrella.
Yeah.
This is the program nationwide that you should do. And then countywide, it depends on the department. Carolina Beach is the only department that has a junior firefighter program currently that I know of.
Okay.
And they have nobody in it right now. So there is a void there that we can capture. And that would get the kids as they come up, but possibly their parents too. So
yeah,
it's worth a look. And then the last item is items not in our 5-year strategic plan. but you'll see it in the capital outlay, the capital plan. New fire trucks in the future, so I have it in the plan for a replace the squad truck, then the fire engine, I believe, then the service truck. After meeting with our ISO representative, the guy that's going to do our inspections, we may be able to combine an engine with the service as long as it meets the equipment requirements. So in the future, when we go to purchase a new service, what we can do, a new engine, what we can do is take the old service out of service. Use our second out engine as a service as long as we equip it, which would give us three engines. One would be our first out, one would be our second out, and the third would be a pumper, a service, and a reserve altogether. So that could save us at least $100,000.
Okay. What about 1100? How long is that thing going to last?
So that was donated to us by the police department as well. Thank you guys, by the way. It used to be the police chiefs, I believe, then Andy Everhart's. And then we traded him a four-wheeler for it, which was a great deal. it has minor maintenance issues, but I have that in the plan for next year to be replaced.
Okay. Because I know that gets used pretty well.
It gets used quite a bit, especially during the summertime.
Yeah.
Chief, the truck that you're going with, the engine replacement, how old will that vehicle, how old will that engine be that you're
using? So our oldest one will be right at almost 30 years old. And then our second out will be almost 20 years old. And the guys take really, really good care of it. They wash one every single day. They check the dipstick, they check oil. They run through it. They do a good job. Obviously, as you all know through the emails, we've had some hiccups with 1192. We actually just had a hydraulic line go out almost 2 days ago as well. But, most of the stuff, the bones of it, the pump, the engine, the transmission, they're running fairly strong. It's just the minor stuff that's starting to.
Is 1192 the oldest?
No, that's the newest.
Okay. The lowest number is the oldest.
Yeah, okay.
So I put that in there just as a discussion point. It can be moved back, it can be moved forward, but I definitely believe that it's something that the town should consider over the next 5 years.
And you think 600,000 would buy one?
480 to 680 is what the local representative said.
Oh, okay.
So bare bones, no spec'd out or nothing, just...
Yeah. It's not a ladder truck.
Right at 500,000.
Okay. Did you have a question?
Do we have computers in those?
We do.
You do have them.
Yeah, we received a grant 5 years ago that was able to purchase those. And they're hooked up to the county MDT, just like the police department. So anytime we get a fire, it shows us where the hydrants are, the notes, everything.
Yeah, it's locked off. Okay.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Any questions for
you? Question for you, Chief. If we could somehow get more county funding, would it be potential to allow the county to stage at our station and for emergency calls and stuff, or if they got another truck, another Tacoma type thing, or would we even want that?
You mean the ambulance?
Yeah.
The 503?
Yeah, the 503.
They actually used to do that. And most of the time they'd sit out in the parking lot the whole time and just wait for a call. That was back when we had the old station back here. Mm-hmm. But they actually used to do that. They would hang out in Curry Beach. So.
Okay.
They had been in discussion of bringing it back. So.
Well, we need to have a discussion when we talk with the county leaders about the amount of visitors that's coming down through here and what we get for our tax dollars and the impact it's putting on us, so that might be.
I should write a letter to Julia Bozeman and Pat, who came down and asked us, what do we need, so.
And some of the candidates that are running for office are asking the same thing, so.
Okay. And I'll double check with them on their upcoming year. They may have it back in their plan for the year. They received a few.
Yeah, if they don't, let me know, because I'll ask them if they're gonna support us with that.
Not for us necessarily, for us as a town, but for, they're going to get called out on the calls down at the museum or the...
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's for...
State Park or anything else.
Yeah, it's for everything. I mean, people come here to party and they come and they extend themselves and some of them aren't healthy.
I know the park rangers are sworn. Are they also EMTs?
No, they are not. I don't believe they are.
I know they're sworn law enforcement, but I don't
know. Yeah, we train their lifeguards down there too, so we just throw them in the mix with our guys, and because, you know, we had that communication issue a long time ago. That's done really well for us.
Okay.
If we can get together a little list of needs, I have a meeting on the 5th with Matt Rhodes, who is running for county commissioner.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, he certainly could know it, but yeah, I mean, it's good to let's hit the people who want to be there as well as the people who are there. Julia, I guess Pat's up, but Julia's not. So Julia being the chairman, she's not up for re-election this year. So
yeah. Now Pat has told me
she's not running again.
She's not.
Yeah. So
was
okay.
Was it a consensus to add the 3 additional staff to the first draft of the budget?
Yes.
Head start with.
Yes, we need. We're going to look at all the requests and from there we'll see where we have to go.
I don't think we've ever cut any requests out this early, have we?
Mm-hmm. No, I think anything is brought up.
Yeah, everything they ask for goes in on the first cut.
Last year that was cut out though.
Yeah, but not on the first.
It was cut out.
Even on the first request, really?
Wow. Was it? Ooh, that was nasty.
Sorry, I didn't realize that.
That was pretty nasty.
Cut me deep early on.
Cut you,
yeah.
Cut you deep. We made up for it.
No, too late.
I was going to say this before we started today, but guys, whatever you want, let's make sure we get into budget before we adopt so we don't have to come back during mid-year.
Yeah, so.
Well, you can never do that. I mean, what did we put in that wasn't? We didn't put anything that was crazy.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
We have 10:47 or 10:46, according to. Let's take a 15-minute break. We're 15 minutes behind schedule, according to the break, anyway. Otherwise, I think we're pretty much on 15. Be back at 11.
All right. Oh.
Thank you.
Let's see, who's next?
Police chief. Yes, sir. Hey, John. Don't give her the
first. We'll start off with some complaints. Typical complaints, we get her dogs and barking. I think we've had 2 dog bites this year. One of them was in the residence. Nothing we could really do about that one. The other one, the dog, I believe, burst through a screened-in porch, or out of a screened-in porch. And did a guy and a dog, but the lifeguards have done a great job keeping dogs off the beach and coming off their stand and doing that, and we definitely appreciate it. It's kept us off the beach more. We've ridden more parking tickets this year than we ever have, so we're trying. There's a couple of things about the parking tickets, though. I don't know if you guys want to talk about it now or if you'd rather talk about it later.
I think it's fair for you to mention it, and then we have to figure out what to do about it. You really
okay.
do.
One big problem we're having parking tickets, and then people are scheduling hearings and then not showing up. And we're having an attorney come in.
Yep.
And should we fine them? Should we not fine them for not coming? That's something I believe the attorney's going to have to do. And unpaid parking tickets and civil penalties, how do we get those paid for? I think we have to have a ordinance to do that. I'm not sure.
Is that small claims court?
I haven't.
What was the question?
Is that small claims court type
process? Probably. We need to ask the attorney.
Well, it wouldn't be. It's not a significant amount, so I don't even know if small claims would bother.
Yeah, I'm not sure how other places do it that don't have a parking company.
Well, DMV should be some process that if we set up, and we got to figure out with the attorney, but we should be able to get DMV to be the mean guys about that, because
if you have a ticket.
I guess the problem is it's civil instead of criminal, and DMV doesn't care about civil stuff, so you'd almost have to make it a criminal thing.
And
right?
Then you lose the.
And then the money goes.
Then the money goes to the school.
Which we might not care about that, because we're not trying to make money off of it. We're trying to force compliance, and people were blowing off, and they realized they can just blow it off forever.
I can't remember if it was the parking company that time that talked to us, or what it was, but they said they just didn't worry about it. If they didn't pay them back, they just don't worry about it. I mean, if they don't pay for the tickets, they just don't worry about it because they feel like...
Well, I think the issue is, so I'm okay with the one, but if they become repetitive, you got to have a ramp-up process. And then you got to have the officer having the data right then. You know, here's the 25 license plates that haven't paid their parking tickets, so they get something different, like we boot them. And then, sorry, if you want your car back, you can come pay all your tickets.
And currently, there's no way for us to know.
Yeah.
But if I'm from Ohio, and I'm here the last day before I go home,
I wouldn't pay it either.
I wouldn't pay it.
Fine.
And if you come back
next year and we had a list of who hadn't paid them and it got booted, then that would fix that.
That would fix that.
But the civil fine, I'd like to change some of those. Right now, we're not writing dogs on the beach very often. Most time we tell them to get them off and they do. It's $150 if you have your dog on the beach certain times of the year. But you can, if you're drunk and you're out on the beach driving, it's only a $25 fine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think we need to adjust some of those things based on...
Don't they get a DWI even if they're driving on the beach? Is that because it's not a road?
Yeah.
So
even though it's public property?
Can we prepay for that?
Yeah.
So if a drunk person comes, drives around town hall, you can't give him a DWI?
We can out here, but not on the beach.
So why is out here different? Okay. I'm just asking. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I thought you could get a DWI anywhere.
On the beach is crazy. There's certain things that apply. We've looked at it several times. We actually had a drunk guy drive from Carolina Beach all the way and got stuck down here.
Yeah.
The only thing we could charge him was a $25 fine for driving on the beach.
Wow.
So,
oh, yeah.
I've looked at some of them. I've got some suggestions of what I'd like to see the fines be personally.
Yeah.
And maybe we would write more of them.
Yep.
I would agree that $150, you don't want to write $150 tickets at first. But if it's a local and they're on the beach with the dog and they know better, you might want to write them, I don't know, $50 ticket. But if you would provide to us your recommendation on the things, we'll definitely take a look at it, Chief.
I've got them right here. The first one will be $50, the second's $100, and then the third one's
Andy, there was a question while you were out, and the question was this: when we have a civil ticket that is unpaid, is there anything we can do to get that? I mean, it's not small claims court or anything like that. I mean, they wouldn't bother with it for $25 or $50, I don't think.
Yeah, small claims is the only way you can get it.
Can't we attach it somehow, since we are a town or a municipality, to their income tax? I know the library does for library fees and books that are not. If you lose a book and you don't pay for it, they'll attach it to your income tax refund, and they'll withhold it from that.
And that's by state law.
Yeah, it's called the debt set-off program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's really no way for us to grab that specifically?
No, other than small claims.
Now, how about, this may be the second thing. When I write a ticket and they say they want to protest the ticket, we have the attorney come in here and they don't show up. Can you add a fee for that?
Yeah, you would have to pass an ordinance to that effect.
Okay.
And let them know with the issuance of the ticket, if you don't show, it would be just...
An additional $20 or something like that.
Yeah.
Cost, because I know they usually call it the cost of the court or whatever like that.
Well, they wouldn't.
If they don't show.
If they don't show, can you make them pay that fine?
You're probably the same guy as...
You'd have to make it pretty small then. It'd have to be smaller than the ticket, or you just pay the ticket rate.
Yeah.
You don't say fine, you say it's administrative cost, and you say fine, and the state gets it.
Right.
Yeah, so administrative cost, that's fair. So then the only thing that we could probably do is send follow-up letters that's saying, you know, you are delinquent on this and your fees, if you don't pay within 30 days, it's now $100 or something.
Well, can we
and send maybe half of them would pay it then.
Can we just send them an invoice or a bill for not showing up and saying it's an administrative cost?
Yeah. You can.
Yeah, they won't pay that either.
We just need to think of the process that we want to use behind it, that's all.
It's going to take some time. That's why I didn't want to
Okay, good. That's fair. Those are good points, Chief.
Bus fare wise, many people, I appreciate Katie last year. You know, letting us have her. She's great. She's been working out really, really well. And also the supplemental income for night shift. We appreciate that.
Is that working good?
Yes. They good. Love it. So, the only budgetary things we're looking at coming up will be car cameras. And we've looked at several different ones. We have a quote for $90,000 to $50,000 to replace them all, which I don't think is the right thing to do at this time.
Replace what, Chief? I'm sorry.
Car cameras. So I'd like to replace them one at a time and just add it to the car budget, and maybe $5,000 a year. And most of it is storage fees because everything's going to cloud based. Mm-hmm. The last body cameras we bought on a grant, and we bought 5 years worth of storage with that. So all that stuff is really expensive. The digital speed sign, we've had good success with that. We bought mm-hmm. that through Asset Forfeiture this year. Had several people requesting more, and I've seen a big difference in people slowing down when they see it. And I'd love to get two more coming into the 25, so hopefully that'll help with the pedestrian crosswalks and more people being in the 25 zone. Yep. They're going to be somewhere around $3,500 a piece. For two more, it'll be about $7,000. The new car, it says on here I've got scheduled two cars, but I think it's going to be one car this year instead of two. And we typically budget about $35,000. Replacing out the last four, you can't use the same equipment in the Ford as you can at Dodge because it just doesn't mm-hmm. do it. So be a little bit more in the $40,000, probably the $40,000 range for the cameras and that kind of stuff. Town projects, the gas tank. The gas tank is hopefully coming along. We've had some hiccups with site and prep stuff that we didn't think about, and we're working through that. Got more quotes. Hopefully it'll be done soon to get it going.
Before the season, you think?
Oh, definitely. It needs to, hopefully it'll be done within the next 90 days. Or
we might be a little bit more than $110,000 off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we had budgeted, and we used it, we guessed. We knew the cost of the tank and all of that, but all the additional things, the electrician, the site work, we kind of made a guess at.
Okay.
So
maybe a little
but all that will be financed. We mm-hmm. haven't even started that process yet until we're they start installing the mm-hmm. The gas tank, then we'll go to that step. So.
Okay. And then, Chief, you've already thought through a process on how to use that tank, or like credit cards or whatever?
Yes, so they give us a credit card. The same, I think it's the same as what we have now. We could use that out of town, or we could use that at a gas pump. Public Works would have their own, and they would identify Public Works. And
mm-hmm. Right.
Credit cards, and police department, fire department, too. So, and that would be gas and diesel, so it will work great. Hopefully work great during the storm. Should. Mm-hmm. No problem. So,
okay.
And does it require the internet? Because you need to ask them for a bypass if it requires the internet, because we won't have it during a storm and we'll be back to the pump problem it. We had down there. Well,
it does come with a hand pump inside if it's horrible.
Well, we got generators, so I'm not worried about power as much.
Well, I'm just talking about if we have to, we can pump it out by hand.
Okay, good.
If the internet
I'm just saying the internet thing. If we got power and no internet, is there a way to use the regular pump so you guys aren't hand pumping?
So, the gas tank, cameras in the park and in the intersection, we got the grant for $24,500. We still have not gotten it yet, but I don't know if I don't think so. But it's in the mail, that's what they keep telling us. So as soon as it gets here, I think we plotted out like 12 different cameras going all from the park to the intersection to behind on top of the surf shack down there mm-hmm. to get sections of Atlantic Avenue we could never get before. But that was all done for $24,500 as soon as that check gets here. The crosswalk signs you guys want us to put in, they're here. Mm-hmm. And so we put them in.
They're already put up, yeah. I was surprised. They're impressed. They went up quick.
So hopefully they won't get knocked down too soon. But we have two extra ones in case.
I think I think they get nailed by a lot of the contractors with their extra trailers. Those guys make the turns, and I think that's what's taking them out. But we don't have them where we're not supposed to have them, so ours should last.
Hopefully it'll last a little bit longer than
the yeah. But the radar signs and those things, I think those are nice ads, Chief. I think they do. They're force multipliers because they slow people down. Cameras are a good deal. I have one question for you. I know you're not finished, but we had bought that truck at one time for the beach. Do we have a 4x4 for the beach for the police department?
Yes, we still have
our truck. Okay.
So,
all right. That thing must be getting old, though, isn't it?
It's a 13.
Oh, okay, a 13.
Yeah, but for what we did with it, we'll still continue to keep it and run it on the beach, and we drive it about once a week.
Okay.
Make sure everything's still working on it.
Okay, so nobody has it out as an assigned vehicle?
No, our reserves will drive it once in a while.
Okay.
And they drive it just to make sure everything's still working on it.
Sure, all right.
But it's fully equipped. We could use it on the road any day we want.
All right, so it'll go anywhere we need it to go. All right.
But that's pretty much it for police department. I'm not asking for hopefully a whole lot, so just the signs. And
yeah, other than the fuel tank, which is for everybody, you're pretty reasonable this year with your request.
So, and again, we appreciate the person last year. It's really helped keeping two people on the road for a majority of the time. So.
And how's the the support we get working out? What is the magistrate? Is that working out, or we're not? Has that gone away already?
I haven't heard anything about it. Well, I'll tell you about it. I haven't heard anything about the video magistrate.
Yeah, the video magistrate.
So they're more so than they were, so we are getting a little better coverage there.
Okay.
So still haven't driven to the jail a lot to see the magistrate, so that does help us quite a bit.
Okay. Well, I guess little
keep
blessings.
Pushing. That's right, keep pushing. That's
yeah. good. Yeah. Little blessings are better than none.
Do we have a dog on the island that trains for drugs?
We do. We're the only one on the island that has a canine. But he's here 50% of the time.
But he is trained to sniff drugs?
Drugs tracking and article searches, yes, sir.
So you have a dollar amount what that dog might be good, I mean, for us? The results?
I don't think there's an easy way to put an amount on it. I can tell you what it costs, but as far as what that dog prevents,
well,
you've seen an increase in the number of arrests, though, since you had the dog?
Two arrests, right? Two drug arrests?
We've had several with the dog. Carolina Beach calls all the time, or quite frequently. We actually had I'm not sure if it was an armed robbery or a strong arm robbery, that the dog went and actually hit on a beer bottle the guy was drinking prior to the armed robbery. He was hiding in the bushes, the dog found the beer bottle, and we found him on video drinking the actual beer. So the dog's pretty good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So I guess to answer the question is, we had a couple drug busts he's been involved in, but there's no way to determine how many people are not doing things because they know we have a drug dog, I guess. That's the answer.
And our drug guy's been, he's great too, just two different people. But yeah, he helps Carolina Beach and they help us, and he's done a lot of stuff for us. So.
Yep. All I know is that none of our officers can smell as good as he can, and he's cheaper than an officer.
Well, I can tell you that before, when Dennis Cooper first got on the department and started a big drug dog activity, like y'all had three or four at one time, it seemed like we almost had as many dogs as officers for a little while. It evaporated from here, and I had the right age kids to know, and there was lots of drugs down here, and like the dogs came and like they were all gone. And I think people knowing there's a drug dog, they just don't want to come to that place because they just know that they're bad news. So I'm very much in favor of one always being associated with your department chief, because the word gets around. The people know where they are. And if one's at Curie Beach, they're not hanging out at the pier trying to sell, not my kids anymore, they're already buying them themselves, I guess, or whatever they're doing. But everybody else is young kids. So
I'm sorry. I always laugh because I can always imagine everybody down there at the park and doing all that stuff and all the stuff on the beach and just in the officer showing up and walking that drunk dog with a police dog on it. How many people start to walk any other direction or exactly. Or get scarce?
Do we run any type of run the dog through any of the town properties or vehicles?
Only on training. That's the only time we ever had. We've never had a request for anybody to for us to run the dog around here.
But no random program, like once a quarter, no. We'll walk the dog through here? And,
no. They do come
he
in
He comes
here.
In town hall all the time. they train in here all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, right. Of course, then it's they're placing stuff in here to see if he's going to find it. Right.
Well, but. You can find other stuff too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Probably in John's office.
They have an office a lot.
There's our offices
room. It's all the candy you have in there.
What is our dog's name again?
Kilo.
Kilo, that's right.
That's appropriate.
Yeah, Kilo.
He came out and did a presentation at one of our events at the park too, and it was a good community.
And right now we have a very good relationship with the canine, the person that sold us the canine. Mm-hmm. And right now for any extra training, my guy can go there and stay for free. And she doesn't charge us for any mm-hmm. extra training. And she certifies the dog again. So mm-hmm. it's worked out really good. Other than us having to drive up there, that yeah. costs us for a place to stay or anything like that. So
where's your training?
Scotland, Matt? Up on the other side of Rocky Mountain.
Okay, so we got the cameras, we got the dog, we got the shift differentials, we got the fuel tank, we got a couple more things coming up. Good job, Chief. Thank you.
Can I speak to the dogs on the beach thing? Not necessarily to impact the chief, but all of us, and particularly working with Nikki and I on the marketing committee. And last year, early part of the summer, I was going over to through our HOA walkover, and there was a couple with a child with a great big dog, and they went right on down. And I said, whoa, excuse me, that is against the law. And I'm not personally going to call the police on you, but these neighbors in these houses here, you won't be down there 10 minutes,
right, exactly.
And you're going to get a police ticket from the Cure Beach. Oh, they jumped all over me about what I was talking about. Well, don't want to brag here, but I am on the town council, and I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right. I hear the complaints.
Good. And then they referenced this website, and lo and behold, on that particular website, because we're on the list, it says Cure Beach allows dogs on the beach. Yeah, I know, we don't. And so I tried to bring that up with the marketing committee, not just Curie Beaches, but the folks downtown. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to put out something to that whole marketing community that delineates the rules, particularly these two beaches, Wrightsville mm-hmm. and Owen, and I got a little bit of pushback on that about, well, that's not a job and stuff.
Really?
They didn't think it would be a good selling point.
Right.
We don't want to tell the truth.
They strongly feel that we should change our whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, tell them to come to council.
The marketing committee.
Can we hold up their payment?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We can say you will put our rules on in the marketing brochures, or we're not approving your
pushback. Equals pushback. Yeah.
Now, there are websites like they're even titled "Dogs on the Beach." Or
y'all need better printers, man. Okay. I can't
all
read
sorts
this.
Of things that if you Google on that subject, you can find. And there are a fair amount, or I would say most, if you finally get down to Curie Beach. It gives the rules the way we have.
That's right.
But there are a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Just say dog on the beach.
Yeah. They want us to get the heat, so we'll change. They're doing it on purpose, in my opinion.
Right.
Whatever.
And that particular one is the one I made up. What I like to find. It's just in the yellow. It's been changed. and the other one is the current fines.
Yeah, like yours is bigger font.
Yeah.
All right, so will you put this on the council agenda for a month or so down the road and we discuss it then, or what's our plan?
Sure. I just wanted you guys to be able to see it and say, hey.
Yeah, it gives us a chance to look at it for when it does come up. We have another thing that we haven't resolved yet. Chief didn't really mention it, but we haven't resolved, and we can put it on the consent agenda, which is the weapons in community,
concealed
on community
weapons,
properties, right? Which being consistent with the state law, and we could probably either do that by consent or we could discuss it, so that at some point in time, that's going to come up before us as well. We had talked about it previously, but it kind of went away on us. Okay. Thank you, Chief. Anybody have anything else for Chief? Okay.
Oh, let's ask about sleeping in cars. Did you ever find out anything?
I can tell you his name.
Did we run
on the record? Don't tell us.
Was there an incident that led to his so carefully worded emails to us?
Oh, yes. So he got rattled. That's why he got upset. All right.
My imagination.
Well, this was their neighbor down the street, too, apparently. But he's had a few run-ins. So.
I mean, I think we all know. I mean, some of us, I know, were able to know more about the situation because I just looked his business up and found out a lot of things about him. But
we backtracked his email at work.
And I was just wondering, I mean, Craig was nice enough to respond to the one email. I wouldn't even have done that after justice.
Well, I don't take kindly to people chopping up our town or our staff.
But I was just curious, to the point, was there, did somebody tell him he had to move on?
Hey, and that was pretty brave because he influences 250,000 people to come to Gary Beach.
Yeah, I didn't
know. Alone. What I mean.
Alone.
By himself.
By himself.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's, you're right. You're right not to put the name out there, Chief. I appreciate that. That has gone away. As far as I'm concerned, that particular thing is over. Okay.
You can put the bong back on the agenda. Get rid of that silliness.
Yep. Okay, not recreation.
Someone spends money.
I gave y'all a copy of the recreation year review. So that in front of you. The first page and a half is similar to the reports you get in monthly council meetings. It just kind of puts the whole year in perspective. That we have our hands in quite a bit throughout the year. The classes at our busiest, we can have up to 20 going on a week. So, you know, between the three facilities. Mm-hmm. And we're always looking to expand that as well. Some of the newer additions that we brought watercolor back, Tai Chi youth soccer was using our outfield, and we're mm-hmm. reinvigorating tennis as well. So the programs, the addition to that, the rec programs at the park was working with SLAP on their beach walk and talk. I believe they were tweaking it some for this year to make it better than last year. So. We added a new town-sponsored special event, the Halloween event, in October at the dog park, and mm-hmm. it was a success. It got rained out about halfway through, but it had started, and we had the fire dog came and the police dog, so or the fire costume. So that was fun. The outside agency special events, we've had a couple of those come in this year. The First Baptist Church has been using Joey's Park to do, like, they did a cookout last fall that we brought in a little revenue from, and they want to do an Easter event over there with an egg hunt and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's nice that for that. Our other programs and events, it is very varied. We get a lot of requests, and part of that's just reining in people's expectations with reality of what we can do. The blood drives have been going really well. We're averaging about 28 drives in 6 years. So mm-hmm. As Ed mentioned, the educational talks, like the Rip Current and Safety program that we did last summer, we had ASL interpreters there, so folks who have difficulty hearing, you know, they could also receive that information. So
That's good. And just to touch on the rental revenue, this just shows you like it is still increasing. So last year was another record breaking, or you know, every year it is increasing, and this year it looks like it's on pace as well to bring in more than what we're budgeting and more than previous years. On the third page, the grand total of all facilities shows you last year, like we brought in $25,884 between the rec programs and the private rentals at the facilities.
So, what was that total, Nikki?
Almost $26,000 in rental revenue.
That's up from last year as well.
Yeah,
last year was like 16 or something?
Well, just the community center, but when we had Ocean Front Park and everything, so that's total. So yeah, we're up about $2,000 from the year.
Nikki, are you consistent with what other places are charging?
That's one thing I was going to say. We're probably close. Like John mentioned earlier, is reviewing our fees. We just implemented that all day rate. I think it was 2 years ago. The $900 for an all day rate, and that's been going really well. But we could definitely evaluate our rates with similar facilities and look if it's time to increase.
It's fairly easy now with internet. Most people place their rates and stuff
like that. So yeah, we can certainly, before the budget process, look at that if council wants us to. I added two more slide or boxes at the end. One is market revenue, and the reason I put that in the Curie Beach market is, like when our department was started, it has granted us the additional staff, which has been tremendously helpful. Part of the expectation was that we reined in some of the expenses that we were subcontracting out, and a big one of those is the market manager, and we're paying out about $5,000 a year for someone else to help implement the market, and every year we were taking on more responsibility anyway. So this year we've actually absorbed the market manager position, so the town is going to be fully managing it. So as it started in 13-14, we were only keeping a small percentage of the revenue that came in. But moving forward from, like starting with this summer, it'll be 100% of the revenue stays with the town and we're not paying out any.
That'll be a significant bump to revenue.
Yeah.
Like a 10% increase. That's cool. In aggregate.
Revenue, it'll just decrease our expenses because the revenue should stay
the same. Oh, that's right. The revenue will stay the same, but your earnings. I mean, what you're turning back to town for, we have all this recreational activity and you're still bringing $25,000 into the town, which is good.
Right, and the market per year brings between $85,000 to around $10,000. Mm-hmm. But that'll all be stay with the town now. So, and then the online store, I just wanted to give you an update since we did start that since last year. It's not much maintenance now that it's running, so it's brought in almost $1,000 to date since we implemented it. We just put out a little promotion and check new products once in a while. With staffing, we're absorbing more, so we're actually decreasing our expenses, so hopefully there won't be any increase to our budget in that regard. A fee change, we implemented a new cleaning company at the community center who is about $100 a month cheaper than the previous, and they're doing a very thorough job, and they have offered they said they would help with rentals and offer a service if someone wanted to just clear their stuff out but leave the tables and chairs up and not clean. They would do that service, and they said they would do it for $75, but they want us to administer it. So Arlen and I talked about it, maybe adding a cleaning fee to the community center for like $100.
I was going to say for $100 or something. Yeah.
Or more. But
you'll just add that to the rental rate, and then they...
Or add it as an additional, if it's not
optional.
But if you want to be able to just grab your stuff and go and let us clean it, then for a fee, or we can even look at it higher than $100 because it,
Is that company D3?
Yes. Yeah.
Our church just put them on contract.
Yeah, they're doing town hall and the community center now too.
Yeah, we've been really pleased.
Oh, yeah. They started in December with us. Some of the current projects, the memorial bench has been installed at the community center. If you haven't seen it out front, it looks really nice. With the help of Public Works, they removed the columns and installed the bench for us, and it looks sharp out there. There's still a little bit of touch-up work needing done where the columns were, but
Sean passed the certified playground safety inspector course, and we've been doing monthly inspections on all the facilities and the playgrounds and working with Public Works on, you know, prioritizing maintenance issues and knocking out things as needed. Let's see, the Facebook page was activated in September, and it's been very positive so far. We had a meeting with Island Women, and they wanted to donate another beach wheelchair to the town. The beach wheelchair that we wanted to donate is a water wheelchair.
Yeah,
and we spoke about this, but we followed up with them since then. It's a chair that you can actually, like, take them out into the water with. And we met with Ed, and in the department head meeting, we discussed it. And with the terrain and the surf that we have here, we didn't feel like that was a good direction. And we followed up with Island Women after that. And in speaking with Ed in the fire department about what their greatest need is with the current beach wheelchairs and the maintenance, it was the tires, right? That you guys go through a lot of tires, and they cost about $200 a piece.
Yeah. I need to confess, guys, I didn't even bring that to you. I just said, any type of vehicle that you're going to have
somebody strapped to
that does not have full physical ability, and you're going to put it in the water, we don't need that liability. No, so
it did look a little sporty. Yeah. It was designed for a lake.
And you're going to have that in the surf? I don't think so.
We definitely, in our communications with them, reiterated the fact that we appreciate the generosity, but if they wanted to help us, then if they could take that equipment amount that they would have spent on that and help us with the maintenance and the tires, a fleet of tires to help keep our current stock in operation.
Because how many do we have in?
Five.
So they were positive to that, and the board took it to the, but we haven't heard.
I mean, if they had all I could see was that rolling into surf and it's stopping face down.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know? And these guys have enough ocean rescues.
Multiple times a week are just helping able-bodied people out of the surf because it is so rough. To put a chair that's on strap to the surf, it's just...
Most of the time when people use them, they're either unable to use their legs at all or elderly to the point where they may be terminal and... Mm-hmm. Wanting to go to the beach for the last few times and stuff like that. So.
And other than that, in the packet is the sponsorship policy.
I was going to ask you. We didn't sponsorship for the disc golf. Are we still getting those fees?
There's never been a policy, or an actual policy.
Form. Yeah.
So the one that was included with the sponsorship policy that you got would just be that there's actually a form people fill out. We currently have 15 of the 18 holes are currently sponsored, and people are paying the $50 fee.
Yeah.
And so there's 3 unsponsored. So any new sponsors that came in would fill this form out if you agreed to that. And then the policy was when SLAP first came with their idea for the sponsorship signs at the beach.
Yes, at the beach, right.
And we discovered, like, we don't have an overarching sponsorship policy. So this would apply to any sponsorships.
Okay.
And we don't have to dive into the details of that today if you don't want. I just wanted to get it in front of you.
I think that's great. We should take a look at it, and at some point in time, it could either be a discussion point or a consent agenda, whatever works. Mm-hmm. And, thank you.
Sure.
I know that was, it's a while ago through that and come up with it.
Is this golf group still fairly active? And
they are.
Mighty in them?
Yeah, they have a tournament every month.
They have like a club tournament, but then they do a larger tournament. They used to do 2 a year. Last year they did not have one. Sean met with them recently too, just to touch base. But yeah, they still do work days out there and clean up and everything. But that is all I have.
Okay, so no particular needs.
No.
Well, thank you.
Everything is going really well, so thank you for the support.
Golf cart replacement, anytime new future?
I almost put it on the 5-year capital plan for 5 years out, but with the new storage now, I feel like we can extend the life of it. I mean, we send it in for an annual, little maintenance, but yeah.
Okay.
So maybe next year or two.
Does take a beating.
It does.
Yeah, and it gets used quite heavily.
Well, the biggest beating it took was sitting out there outside.
Well, yeah, when it was outside, that was tough on it. I know that. Now it's indoors, but, you know, whatever occurred.
Yeah, it had 5 years outside.
Yeah.
So, We're at 6 years with it now, almost.
Okay. We have it that long already.
14, huh? The summer.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we used it with lights on it for one of the parades, even. Yeah. Now that our.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, good job, Nikki.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Keep up the good work. Everybody's moving right along. So you're just requesting the same amount?
Yeah, we'll know specifics, but I don't see a significant increase.
One other thing. Maintenance for the children's playgrounds down at the Oceanfront Park in here, or like fence support or replacing things, is that in your budget or
is that public works?
Yeah. Okay,
the
public works.
The community center budget contains the maintenance for that building, but Oceanfront Park and Joey's Park are in
Jim's. Okay.
Well, so we should state too, Sean did a bunch to help out, like painting the benches and everything.
He did a great job.
And that was a couple thousand that we reined in.
Yeah, right.
Someone else that
was.
That.
Yeah, that was quite a help.
And I didn't say anything about this. I should have while Jimmy was here, but I think the landscaping stuff we're doing is working for what we pay for landscaping.
Yeah,
And we need to replace the grass down at Oceanfront Park. It's gone, but the first meeting we had with Freeman Landscaping, the guy said, you got the wrong type of grass here. You need like almost like a turf you would put in for a football field or something that's
tough and
takes a lot of wear and tear, so we need to implement replace that grass is shot.
You know, that brings up another point, and I forgot to ask Jimmy, and this is because I guess I was asleep. Maintenance on the boardwalk.
Yeah, I thought maybe Jimmy will come back this afternoon.
If he doesn't, he'll put it in the budget because I know we've talked about it. And he knows it's an issue. Sorry, I've been a little disjointed, but I'm sure it'll show up in his final input.
In his final input, okay.
Because I know he spent a lot of money in there, and it should really be on a capital thing, because there's a couple of big sections that probably need a bunch of more than just repair work.
Yeah, there's some areas down there that we're having trouble with water flowing. Some places that the water can flow from Atlantic under the boardwalk and goes on out into the dunes. In other places, it's ponding up, and those boards are rotting out. So you need to make some adjustments there.
So, I did forget to ask him. So you're right. Hopefully he has it buried, in some other aspect. Yeah.
Well, he's going to text right now, so there you go.
All right.
Nikki, I haven't read the recreation policy on renting the community center in a great while. Can a political organization rent that? We're getting into political season for 2020.
Yeah, they can, yes.
Okay. And I personally know a couple of people in Cary Beach that are very involved in their political party and those things. And I just wondered if you're going to get a request to use that at all during the year.
We let the precincts, like the Cary Beach precinct, use it for their annual meeting once a year, free of charge, as long as we offer it to both parties, but if they wanted to do an event like that, then that would be
you have to pay for a political event.
Yes.
So,
right. Yeah.
But I didn't know if it.
Some places do not, don't allow those type things, but I personally, if they're paying for it, if it's a person that's having a campaign get together or a meet and greet and they want to pay a rental for it, I don't have a problem with
that. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either.
Think about what you want to do with parking there at the community center also, Nikki.
Yeah.
If we were, by chance, went down that route with paid parking. So, in no way am I saying that we are doing paid parking.
But it's a fair question.
But for the classes, rentals, anything, in case we have to block that lot off, whatever, just any suggestions or anything you think of.
I responded to your email, too, that Pastor Keck was concerned, too, because they used that lot for their church.
I still need his email.
Do we get any complaints from folks about parking? Because, those are wedding and receptions, and I know one time we did July 4th weekend, and they were upset they had to park on 6th or something, but do we get a lot of feedback on that?
I would say that's our biggest complaint we get.
The biggest complaint is parking.
But in fairness to Nikki and them, they tell the people you're having an event in May, and if it's a pretty weekend, it's going to be crowded.
And a couple of years ago is when we added a section on parking that, any public, there's not designated parking with the rental.
That's right. That is in the contract. That's exactly right.
In a marked dark space.
All they see is that value that they get for the place and how little it costs, and then they get upset when they use the value.
To stand out there and monitor parking or
because it's a public lot.
I didn't know where they would stand out there.
You have to get approval to block it for an event because it is a Camelot technically. Community center.
Plus you have the hairdressers. All her customers kind of park back there, pretty much.
The only thing that the community center committee requests that they get closed for the barbecue.
You allow
that comes to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you allow
that's
it.
The only time it's
closed.
Okay, any other questions for Nikki? Thanks, Nikki.
Yeah, thank you.
Admin. This will only take like 3 minutes.
quick question though, your lunch is here. Do you guys want to break and eat and then come back?
Well, we're going to break at 12:15. Do you think, will it stay warm?
I just didn't want it to sit there for 30 minutes.
Hmm. Okay.
Is it going to take you 30 minutes?
No. Okay, well, go ahead then. Last quick, so I'll give you this.
Thank you.
Just real quick, generally, we did go live with the new website update, finally, and then we were also able to go live. That was a project that we've been working on right after we moved into the building, so with everything going on, we did drag that out just a little bit. It just took more time than mm-hmm. we planned, but we did go live with it. We also are now live with our iCompass agenda stuff that we're working, where we're able to put the agenda there. It goes a lot smoother and a lot cleaner during council meetings. We've worked with the safety committee and Amy Jarvis to complete safety trainings, and admin has started a tracking database to help support the other departments and just kind of take that on. So that's just one less thing that they're having to do. Of course, the police and the fire still have certain things that they have to track on their own, but as far as town-wide for OSHA purposes and things like that, we can do that in our department.
So are you planning on like sending out notifications saying you need retraining on this or that?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll help them.
I've got that listed a little further down too.
Okay. All right.
As far as growing that program. There's
okay.
some other things that I would like to implement into it
okay.
that we're not doing. General IT update, Arlen mentioned earlier that we do have a new server now for the water meter software. So that allows us to grow again in the future a little more. And that project's almost complete. We are now officially using this door the way that it should be used in this room. So all of our doors are now electronic. You should not have to manually lock any door, exterior door here, the front, or the employee entrance. So with that being said, this door and the front door do have a delay in locking once you exit it because of the ADA system that's on it, because you don't want to smash someone in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give them time to get out. So it does have a little bit of lag time. I think it seemed like forever when I was standing there, but it's really not. It will lock. They are scheduled to open and close for events. We do create events according to the calendar and whatever's out there. I think we had a few hiccups when we first moved in with the coffee with the mayor on getting mm-hmm. it to open correctly, but we got that bug worked out now.
Okay.
But this door is set. So keep in mind, when you guys are here and y'all mess with that manual lock at all, it completely resets the system, which means the door will not open when it's supposed to for the next event. The main one being the front door. So the girls are up front working, and then all of a sudden we've got people yanking on the door at 9:15 because they can't get in. The door's not open. So we don't know that you guys have messed with it or whoever has done something to the door.
Which could be why coffee with the mayor is sometimes exciting. Go in there and mess with it.
I told Mandy I take credit for the last one.
Okay, we will not. I will not touch that.
Why can't we get in the door?
Yeah, we'll not touch that anymore.
So just an FYI, they didn't do pop. That. Just be patient and give them a minute to click in and magnet in. But
what if we finish a meeting early? Say it's scheduled for 2 hours and we only meet an hour.
Then manually lock it and shoot me a text.
Okay.
Just so we know to reset that door.
Okay.
But we normally are setting the door that it closes and locks before the meeting.
Before your meeting is even over. We're starting that now. We experienced that with our meetings the other night when we first put this back on the system. It's just like, so basically an hour before your meeting's supposed to end, we are scheduling that door to lock because you can still get out.
Yeah.
Okay. You just can't get back in.
Well, why don't you change that to a key lock so you have to have a key to lock it. Then no one can mess you up.
Because then it defeats the purpose of the technology on the door.
No, no, no. Isn't that the lock they're locking that's messing you up? The hand lock one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, change that so that no one can
change the cylinder so it takes a key.
Oh, okay. That's
so then someone can't mess up. You guys got to get the key, and then we won't ever hose you because we won't be able to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's not a...
I'm not sure we can do that.
Well, no.
Yeah,
that thumb latch is not accessible. It's supposed to be a push bar otherwise. So, yeah, David's right.
Oh, yeah, okay. You can change it.
Yeah, we can check into that for sure. But just a heads up, FYI, don't worry about it. They will.
That's
lock.
Why the doors don't work because we mess with them. Okay, loud and clear.
Maybe a pattern.
Actually, you're right. I don't know if you're allowed to do that. That lock's probably not in compliance because that's an emergency exit. You probably can't do that.
Probably can't.
It's got to have one. You'd have no one action to open.
Yeah. So that's got to come off. It's not even supposed to be there. Because if you lock this manually, this doesn't work. If you do this, that doesn't work because it doesn't unlock it. So that's outside the fire code because we're next.
Okay.
We'll send fine.
Yeah, let Steve come look at it. Steve look at it and tell you what you should
do. We all put one of this battle like the other doors are.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, we're going to have to switch that out. All right, so
I'm surprised our contractor did that.
We had to upgrade the ones at the firehouse to strike plates.
Yeah, we put those strike plates over at the fire department.
Okay. Let Steve look at it with you, and then make it so we can't hose it up. That's all I'm asking.
Make it idiot proof.
Yes.
Council
proof. Yeah.
I know.
But yes, we will talk with Steve, and we'll look into that. I've got to talk with Steve anyway because he's actually doing all of our safety mats for our building. So.
Good.
And it's taken him a little longer because I requested extra mats. Because our hallways are so long, I just wanted to kind of put them in other places as well, more than what the code required.
Okay.
So all of our council room, our conference room, our collaboration room, all of the technology in those rooms are equipped for you guys to connect to any display or any item in there, whether it be an extra. My original plan was the Google Chromecast, that if you were not an Apple product user, you could connect through Chromecast, but then Google locked it down to where the only thing you can share on a Chromecast is Google, your homepage. So I'm struggling through that. I'm trying to find a workaround. But otherwise, there's going to be an HDMI cable in case you need to plug in a computer. But every room is equipped now that you can connect to whatever you need to connect to. And there's instructions in every room on how to connect. And then we're always a phone call away or grab us in the hallway to help with that. Facility improvement, we completed that. Moved back. We managed to move back in here and get any additional furniture or equipment needs that we realized once we were in the building that we needed that we didn't know we were going to need when we got here. Meredith has been working with Thomas Construction and Allen to process all warranty claims and report any issues that we're having in the buildings, all three, to Thomas Construction and their warranty claims department.
And we've done a final walkthrough and final stuff at the fire department since they moved in January. So we've notified them of several things. They're in the process of fixing those. So we're in good shape.
So fire department in good shape? I mean, police department in good shape?
Yeah, we just need some touch up. And I guess we just found out on our air conditioners, the split units, they all have to be on cold to work, or they all have to be on hot or heat to work, so you can't switch one to the other. So
okay.
That's going to take some...
That should just be a program thing, though. They should be able to fix that.
They're all set on one unit outside.
Ah.
So it's kind of screwy.
So when it's hot in the room, you make sure it's on air conditioning. When it's cold in the room, you make sure it's on.
Well, he's saying that every room.
Yeah, but then all the units have to be on the same system.
So there aren't any...
All the units have to be on the same system? So you don't have to change it but one time.
Well, the problem is the rooms are all screwed up.
The room.
I don't have a key to two of the rooms, two out of the three.
You have a place key.
Yeah, I can't have keys to some of them.
Okay.
But...
Okay, well, we should probably take a look at that.
Other, but yeah, it's, and the guy said it's very costly to fix. That's why I didn't want to split units. Yeah.
Costly to fix?
That's probably a cost-cutting measure that we
drove them into.
But I mean, we're dealing with it.
Okay. I do want to say this. if we're doing touch-up paint in any of the three buildings, it's on your list. Sorry.
Yeah, perfect. Do it everywhere.
So another thing that we have done is we took coordinated the installation of the fence at the fire department, which then blew down during the storm, which it's designed to do. Had the company come back out, and because it had just happened in such a quick turnaround, they did not bill me for the repairs, which was nice. And then we coordinated and maintenance contracts for all of the HVAC units in the new buildings and facilities and generators as well. So we have all of them on a schedule that rotate in and rotate out for all three. So just an update on some Matsu Jayla stuff from a recent meeting. Any leases and license are going to take much, much longer. I've mentioned this to all of you in passing to process, because right now they're having to be sent to a general to be signed off on in Huntsville, Alabama. And they have not delegated down the signatory authorities yet. So that does affect the lease that we are trying to get on that grassy plot across from the bays.
It's also held up because the survey we're doing.
Yeah, and calling the colonel's not necessarily going to get the general to do it. Or even get the colonel to tell the general.
Is it just a new guy took over, or they didn't say why I changed? I'm assuming it's the new guy.
They didn't say.
It's probably a change of command.
But everything should be fine with it.
Yeah.
It's just going to take a while. It's just going to take longer, yeah.
Just what takes long takes longer.
That's right.
You know, and I did talk to him about any of our current leases and renewals and things like that. If there was anything we could do to help speed that process up, please share the information. We were happy.
Are they still 5 years now? Is that where we're at?
No.
I think
the last ones were five.
Yeah. I mean, not 5 years from now, but 5-year leases.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a 50-year one, and then it became a 5-year one.
And usually by the time we actually get one, we're already 2 years into it, basically. So
it's just that slow process.
That's fine.
Love the government.
As long as the lagoon doesn't go away.
And I'm still waiting on a date for the Sunny Point tour from the car.
They may limit us to 3 people for that.
Well, they told me 2 originally, and then Joseph has heard 3. So 2 to 3 people that can tour the facility at this time, and I will need your IDs in advance.
Okay.
The scheduled tour date would be like the 21st of February, so if you're planning on going, you can kind of pencil it in there.
As soon as we know, I have my annual physical scheduled that day, so I'll need to see if I can move that. So
I need to request a day off.
Okay, so tentatively it's the 21st. I don't have a time yet, and they were supposed to confirm that, but I don't have an answer yet from the cop. And you will need background clearance for that, so I'll need to get your IDs ahead of time and submit
those.
Okay. I've been over there several times. They should have mine already.
Now's a good time.
Very interesting.
That real ID.
I got it.
So if you haven't done it, now's a good time, because that's going to be one of the requirements to go on the military base is the real ID, and that's what he was pushing for in the meeting was real IDs.
Or two forms.
So just passing along what I was told. So next budget year, I don't have any requests for additional staffing. I still have a vacancy that I plan to fill in the new budget year. I'm writing up a job description for that because I want to move some things around and look at the job descriptions of the two other employees in my department and see where to shift and move. I would like to see our training and tracking across the board, our support of that grow a little bit and take in a couple of more things to help support other departments as administration department.
Would that position be something like with possibly Amy's help that our person would be trained to do the safety training?
I'm looking at keeping that with Meredith, more of the personnel side of things with Meredith. She really excels with that. She does a great job. She's done a great job with open enrollment, new hire orientations, exits when needed, things like that. And she is very strong in it. Okay. So I'm looking at that. But they would support the whole department. Yes. And I would like to see some focus on IT with them to continue to support everyone on IT needs and things like that. So I don't have any requests for that. One possible budget increase that I see coming, and I want to talk with, or Alan has a copy of this quote, and I also have it here too. We had to get a quote because one of the AC units that was, I call it the left behind unit, it was an older unit that they left in place, and they did not redo the ductwork. And
the unit was replaced.
Oh, they did actually
replace the unit, but the ductwork.
That's it. It didn't replace the ductwork. So we have a new unit, but we have all old ductwork. And so as a result, we've had some issues from it. The recommendation is to come in and reinsulate it and redo the ductwork, the wrap, and seal it and insulate it. And then they also would like to install a zone system because there's really not any. It's kind of strange, like the back hallway is like really cold down the hallway and there is no way to control the temperature in the women's restroom. I don't know, I haven't been in the men's, but it's like freezing in there. It's crazy cold. Like, I don't even go in there if I don't have to. So there's a quote to do that as well.
Yeah, and again, that was a cost-saving measure.
That was taken out.
It was taken out of the project in the original preliminary planning stages to save some money. That's the reason you see that thermostat still in the hallway, and every one of our other thermostats are in the office or in the area where the hallway doesn't control the heat, but the individual offices control the heat.
Okay. Do you have an estimate for that?
$11,611 is the estimate I have. But we're going to continue to have problems if we don't do it. We've had things that have come from it. I mean, I've had to have the alarm company come out because certain alarms will trigger. I mean, there's just like all these random little things that are feeding off of it for some reason. It just
Well, for now, I guess it'll be added.
Yeah. We should look at other alternatives, right? But with space heaters in each.
But didn't you have things in your budget, Mandy, last year that was included for maintenance and stuff on buildings? But the money was already there. You just keep, like for the gutters and some of that other stuff we did.
Yes.
Wasn't it in your, I mean, this is not necessarily an increase in your budget. It's just something you're going to do next year in your budget.
Right, but it may cause it to go up. Because I've got a couple of little things on my list. That was certainly a very unexpected thing. And normally I don't have an $11,000 project.
Right.
Much
buffer, yeah, you don't have 11 buffer.
So I try not, that would be a budget add for sure. But so a couple of other things that I wanted to bring to you is the front customer service windows. They're not safe by any stretch of the word. You can push them open. You could push them open fairly easy. The only way to lock them is with a key, and they can't get the key in there. They're not straight on. By the time someone was coming, I mean, for them to figure out where their key went to even get it in the window would be, it's just not a safe situation. And after the active shooter training that we all attended, it's just a little nerve-wracking that basically someone can come in the front office, especially if no one's up there, and climb through Denise's side of the window and take four people out with a silencer, and we'd never know it. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, that's a stretch, but I'm just saying it's, we have our doors locked down, we have a lockdown in place, we have an alarm we can pull and get the police over here very, very quickly, but yet our girls are exposed up front. I mean, it's just, that's a concern that I have.
So what's the options?
I would like to see windows like what Tammy has put in, where they can push things through. I mean, I haven't looked at the other options of windows out there. I certainly would love to do that, but just seeing what Tammy knowing that, you know, she slides something under the window. And,
as opposed to having the slide window, you mean a full window with...
Because they're huge. I mean, they're like a sliding glass door, almost. You know, if you really think about it, they're pretty big.
And the way the keys are, it's not like you can leave the key in.
You can.
Yeah.
It's not like a normal key. You know, it's one that has to...
It takes
an effort to actually make it work. And
to be honest with you, you could come through there and a person could jump up there and kick those glass.
Oh, yeah.
It's no way it's secure at all.
Well, look at the options and let's put it in the budget and talk about it, right? So, I mean,
that was the plan.
So the downside of the Tammy one is it makes it more imposing, but that's what its purpose is, and you got to balance those two. You guys got to decide how your customer service feel is, right? I mean, you'll get feedback from a lot of people that are like, why are you doing that? We just got to be able to answer the question. I think we want to make our employees safe.
I mean, and I will look into other options. I was just using that one as an example as to what she
It might be the right one.
And then, of course, the other thing that I have just noted in my budget line item for legal budget would be the 160B code updates and work on the land use plan. I know there's talk of stretching that over two budgets. Some will come out this year and some will come out next year, but just keep in mind that we do have that on the horizon.
They've backed up the land use plan time frame, so we don't have the rush we thought we were. So but I would still like to go ahead
and
have everything started. I would like to have everything done by the end of next year for an obvious reason, if you get what I'm saying.
Beth and I are going to work with the attorney as much as possible to do like the data entry and the updating and things like that, so we're not using attorney hours and time to do that. We have shown him how to use our MuniCode software because he wanted to learn and wants to know, because there are small things that he can go in there and do, but for the bulk of it, he can just send it over and we can help do that at the cost. So that was kind of our goal on that end, and we met with him and talked about that too. So, upcoming projects and goals. I would like to secure actual contracts for annual power washing, carpet cleaning, and paint touch-ups for all three facilities on the same rotation. I know the fire department has already had some done, so I'll work with Ed on that. But our cleaning company will actually do our power washing at a very reasonable price, so I'll work with the other department heads to talk to you guys about all of those things. I'd like to have backsplash installed in the break room behind the sink and the stove. You can already see the grease stains behind the stove in the break room, which just happens when you're cooking. I mean, but I'd like to put something up there to protect the walls so that it's not.
So you're talking about just behind the stove?
Or do you want to do it
the whole wall?
Mm-hmm, that whole section between the two cabinets. And I want to look at having the soundproof panels and some chair railing installed in the conference room to keep the wall from getting beat up and to keep it a little more soundproof for closed sessions and meetings in there. It's very echoey. And I have a quote on the soundproof panels, and I don't think we need as many as I was quoted for, but at the time my quote was about $5,000 for those. But that was the panels, the installation, everything for all of it. And it was a lot of panels, though. So I think we can start small and add if we needed to. Our town landline phones are up for, that contract's up for renewal, so that's a project we'll be working on as well. Getting some quotes and looking at other providers as well, possibly even BC3 because they offer phones too. And also going to look, start researching some vendors for our town alarm system. We've had some fee increases on the one that's on the horizon as well. Also, our department will be working with department heads on the federal requirements for CDLs as far as drug testing pools and things that they have with the federal requirements that are out. So I'll come forward with more information when I have it. We're still kind of just got some notifications about it, working on that.
Is that even though they're B's instead of A's?
I don't know. Okay. I don't have to.
Because nobody has to. Ed, I know fire department, you just do class B's, right?
For fire sensors, yeah.
No. For drivers, for licenses. So
to drive it.
Our paid guys are required to have a
B. Yeah.
But our volunteers
have an exemption.
State statute, they're just not required to have a class.
And then Jimmy has class B's for the fire, the garbage truck and the dump trucks.
Yeah, I guess I'm just surprised you don't need a CDL to whip that big, heavy truck around.
Yeah, the B only is volunteers. Basically a reduced version of the CDL. Yeah,
the B is a CDL.
Okay. It is?
It is.
Okay.
Class A is for pay larger.
Yeah.
Fire trucks fall under because it's not a tractor, and because it's a fire truck, they are.
A lot of it has to do with the weight you pull and the trailers and stuff. So if you're just driving a tandem dump truck, it'd probably be a B.
Most of the testing
or the load you carry.
Yeah, or
like if you carry 45 students, that's another different requirement.
Yeah.
So we'll be working to see what's required of us and working to do it with the department head so we can kind of add that to our tracking and keep up with that so that we can send out the appropriate notifications that are needed.
Cool.
Continue to work with the safety committee and Amy Jarvis and department heads to expand our safety training opportunities and processes. There's an online training that I've got for free through the league because we're members that I want to implement, and that we can send out notifications. Everyone can log in and do it right there online. There won't be so much coming together for meetings and trainings and things like that. And then we'll be able to send you notifications, hey, this is due. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to print out your certificate and put it in your file that you've done it, you've completed it, and I'll be able to put it with my OSHA book and anything that needs to be done that way. So we want to implement that. And a couple of other little trainings that I'm finding on the listserv that I'd like to see for town employees. I have a goal. I want to, on our personnel side of things, I want to update our new employee orientation process, add some things, streamline a few things, work with department heads to kind of tailor it more towards their department. If there's anything that we can do in admin that helps get them ready to roll in your department better versus the general stuff that we do over here. So I'll be meeting with department heads to talk about that here that can be done. And then, of course, I had on there replace customer service windows if approved in budget. So that would be on there as well. That's a goal for me. Another quick goal that I have for council while I have you here is that I'm trying to figure out a way to get all of the Microsoft, like Word and Excel, and maybe not even Excel, but Word and PowerPoint on your iPads, because it is crazy easy for you guys to give a presentation in this room to council. You can ask the mayor. He did it blindfolded pretty much from his iPad. So I'm working with BC3.
Only an hour's training.
And that wasn't an hour, it was like 5 minutes. I showed him what to do and he was running with it, so it was fabulous. But so the mayor has a license for Word and for all the office apps, and we pay, I think, $18 a month for it. So I don't want to pay $18 a month for each commissioner for an entire year, because that can get costly. So I've been working with VC3, and there is a way that I can share the mayor's license amongst you guys. I just have to watch what I'm doing when I download and how it's signed into, because I think we're going to have to sign into it as the mayor, because you have to activate it.
I'm only going to charge $9 a month.
But I just want to make sure that where you're saving things and how you're accessing them is not messing with things that he's doing, because it is going to be a shared account. So I'm working through some quirks on that.
I don't know what David does, but he plugs in everything around here.
He does with I call his laptop his brick. To me, it's really old.
It is kind of old, yeah.
He carries that brick around.
But he gets into everything.
Yeah, he does. He does great with it. But as far as just wanting to put up a PowerPoint, like for parking or share pictures or things like that, I mean, we have the ability to do that in this room just by simply connecting from your iPad.
Yeah,
and
it's a lot
easier.
If
you've got a PowerPoint, then you can stand in the room with it in your hand and literally use your finger as a pointer on your iPad. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have to plug in, or do you? You don't use both. Mirror.
Oh, you can.
I do both. Yeah, okay. I plugged in most recently because mirrors
Wi-Fi. Yeah, Wi-Fi would do it. Right, Wi-Fi.
But from an Apple computer,
yeah, it's a lot easier.
It's a lot easier, and from an Apple device, it's very easy to mirror. And you saw that. And
oh yeah, it was very.
You did it by yourself without
happy.
A mirror.
Happy with it. So. Very easy.
The other thing that we have done is we have upgraded the council computer to an Apple computer back here, so that is fully functional for anyone that comes in. And so far, a lot of committees that have to use our computer or do bring presentations are loving it because they are actual, they use Apple as well. They're like, wow, I didn't have to bring a flash drive. I can just connect that. So the Apple connections.
Well, do you have a connector so a flash drive can still get to you? Okay, good.
Yes. In that computer it is.
Good.
That they're able to connect with the Apple TV in all the rooms, so it's been we've had some good feedback on our setups. So, and that's all I have. Go eat lunch.
Okay. Any questions for admin?
I know you discussed this at one time. You may have implemented it, and I'm just not IT enough to know it yet. When you send out the monthly agenda for the council meeting. And it's usually 80, 90, 100 pages long because it has things that people are doing for the meeting. At one time we talked about, okay, I've got 2 pages of the agenda. And number 3 is possibly the recreation department, and Nikki's going to have 10 pages to talk about. We talked about putting a link right there that it would take me to page 42 without me having to flip 41 times to get there.
That's the iCompass. So you're thinking iCompass, and we are going live with that hopefully this month in February.
On your iPad.
Right.
So we're going live in here, so we've just got to get everything.
Yeah, when I'm sitting up there and because it'll jump through sometimes. And I've got to look down at the bottom which page I'm really looking for. I wind up doing this a lot.
We just took a few months to get used to it ourselves.
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure we're ready to.
But yours shows that way now up on the screen.
And so now we can start to implement that on you guys.
It'd be nice.
So we will be rolling that out.
Around.
That is coming.
Thank you.
Yes.
When?
Very soon.
Probably this month, February.
You ready to use it? We
made it out. As long as I get training.
Soon.
Okay. Any other questions, John? Any questions?
No.
Al? How about you, Joseph? No? Thank you all very much. Let's see. Break to eat. Let's restart at 1. Okay, we start at 12:30.
John, do you